This is the place where sports opinions collide, dead in sports. Ken here, joining me as usual is BZ430.
What up, what up?
FIFO is not with us today. He wasn't able to join us, but he'll be back next week. And we got, of course, the man, Nick, from the All Disrespect
podcast. Mr. No Disrespect
No Disrespect podcast. Who will, actually, we're proud to say that he will be a regular on the show now. You know, kick. Yeah, let's go.
Little clap. Thank you. Appreciate it. Just bringing a dose of reality to the show.
Yeah, okay. I like that.
That fresh, young, undeveloped perspective.
Undeveloped. Damn, the shade, boy. The shade.
He mad because I beat him in fantasy this week.
That's what it is. Yeah,
killed him.
You know what? I can't laugh because he whooped my ass twice. He beat me in the first week in another league, and then he beat me this past week.
I didn't whoop your ass. I barely beat you by three.
Look, in my eyes, you whooped my ass. I don't like that. I don't want to go 0-1
or
whatever.
I thought I did too.
Oh, man.
And then I looked up and it was like, you know, the little app pop up.
Thanks. Yeah.
The confetti
like,
and all
yeah.
that.
Yeah, I'm like, man, some bullshit.
Like, oh, shit, I won? I said, okay. I don't think I'm as confident about that team. I don't know. It takes my teams a while. Because, you know, be like, I have to challenge myself. So I take a lot of gambles. You know, like one last year, the reason why I didn't do as well because I drafted Ezekiel Elliott. Stupid. But I did. It worked for a while. Then he was gone. So I like to kind of take chances on upside guys, and sometimes it works, but lately it hasn't. So I zag with other people are zigging or however you go. So sometimes it takes a minute. And football is one of those sports where, you know, injuries happen like all
crazy.
The time. So a guy you get in the first, second, or third round
can be gone,
you know,
for the year.
Gone.
Yeah, like, Devontae Freeman, he's hurt right now in one of my leagues.
Yeah, Olsen is done. Same. Yeah, Olsen gone. Yeah. So, you know, so it's just, you know, if you got them, great. But if you don't, it could derail your season.
Exactly.
Because Jonnu Smith didn't do anything for people that picked him up to replace Delanie Walker. Mm-hmm. And they were hyping him up, talking about, oh, yeah, he's going to see plenty of work.
Gave me zero. He gave me a donut.
Yeah, I saw. Same thing with Ian Smith from.
Oh, yeah, for Carolina.
Yeah.
He almost had a touchdown, but he did. Couldn't catch it.
Yeah. So it's a funny sport, man, and sometimes the running back situation got to sort themselves out because guys have poor preseason. So normally about fourth weekend, I'll know whether or not I'll be able to make the playoffs. And then there's any, you know, you never know what happened.
You never know what happened when you get.
My motto is I just need to get in the playoffs.
I just need to get in the playoffs, baby. That's it.
I don't care about anything else. Just get me in the game, get me in the dance, and we'll see what happens.
Yep.
We'll see what happens. You don't want to see me, but right now I'm playing in the fantasy baseball championship, and I'm down by like 40 points. But it's Wednesday, so we'll see what happens. But I've been in the finals 4 years in a row, and I might be like the Miami Heat and go like 2-4.
2-4 in the finals.
If I don't win, it's going to be ugly because I'll be 1-3. So anyway. So that's that. FIFO, I know I mentioned that he may not be here. I haven't tested him yet. I know he said he may try to get here. Depends on how everything went with him tonight. But we're not expecting him to come. So y'all hanging out with us for this episode. So anyway, Black Kellerman, our resident boxing expert here, is going to kind of give us a breakdown of what happened with the fight this past weekend. So. I know I'm seeing headlines of people, you know, asking, was he robbed again and all this other stuff. What happened, B?
I mean, it was, for one, a very entertaining fight. And for those that don't know, you know, Canelo Alvarez and Triple G, they highly anticipated a rematch because it got derailed earlier this year because Canelo was busted for some performance enhancing drugs.
That juice.
So it was, I think it was really supposed to fight like in May. So that got pushed back. And, you know, they got pushed back to this, you know, to September. They just fought this past weekend, for those that's listening. You know, coming into this fight, they came off of a draw the first time that they fought, which was last September of last year, of 2017. So, yeah, like I said, this rematch was highly anticipated because, like I said, throughout the whole time, it was close. Triple G, he definitely controlled a good majority of the fight with his jab, But in my opinion, it could have went either way, but I can see why Canelo won, because Canelo was more persistent with his combinations, and he was actually walking Triple G down a lot around the second half of the fight. You don't see Triple G get walked down. Usually Triple G is the one that's walking everybody down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Canelo was standing up strong. He was dominating the fight, especially that second half, and that's what most judges look at a lot. They kind of look at how you finish the fight and not necessarily how you start. The first five rounds, I was like, yeah, Triple G is winning 4-1. But I feel like Canelo just started. He started controlling. He made his adjustments, which is that was one of the reasons why I kind of felt Canelo was going to win his fight, because he's a fighter that likes to make adjustments. So he made his adjustments. He started walking down Triple G, and he was getting them combos. Like I said, even though it was sometimes where, you know, when Canelo get a little happy with the combinations, Triple G hit him with that jab, like that neck going back with that jab. And I don't know if people saw that and thought that Triple G was like controlling the fight, and he really wasn't, because he wasn't landing like really good power shots the way Canelo Alvarez was landing. So, I mean, but yeah, that jab, he just controlled it. He kept him at bay with that jab a lot, and I think people saw that and was like, oh, well, Canelo not doing nothing because he keep making his neck back with the jab. But Canelo was getting them combos, hitting him in the body a lot in this fight too, man, which was crazy. So I can see why the judges pick Canelo. If they'd have picked Triple G, I kind of wouldn't have no problem with it either. Like, it's one of those fights where either person would have won, I wouldn't have no issue with it.
Mm.
You know how some fights you'd be like, oh, no, hell, how the hell this dude won this fight? But no, this fight, it could have went either way, man. And now I'm looking at, they did the new pound-for-pound rankings, and I'm kind of a little disappointed in this. But they got Lamachenko at number one, which he's a bad boy, but he shouldn't be ranked number one. Terrence Crawford, who I think he should be ranked number one.
You talk about him a lot.
Or I think Errol Spence should be ranked number one, but he's ranked number two. Terrence Crawford, 33-0. Canelo Alvarez is number three, which is well deserved. He gave Triple G his first official loss. Triple G is four. Don't know how he's ranked four over Errol Spence, who is number five. Mickey Garcia, another undefeated lightweight welterweight guy. He's good. And Nikao Inku, he's a bantamweight. He's 16-0. He's number seven. Sakarashki Rajbanashi, that's a Russian guy. He's 45-1. Don't know how he's ranked number eight over Dante Wilder. Dante Wilder's not even in the top 10. You got Anthony Joshua, who's the undefeated heavyweight, who's deserving should be in his top 10. But why is Dante Wilder not in this top? That's what I'm disappointed in. Like, Triple G just lost. He should be like eight, and I think Dante Wilder should be in this top 10 because he's an undefeated heavyweight. He's 34 wins with 33 of them coming to knockouts. So it's like, and this dude is not in the top 10 pound for pound. That's insane. But yeah, the fight was very entertaining. I'm glad. And it might be the last time we might have HBO on pay-per-view.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's something about a contract where now that ESPN is like taking over all the boxing stuff, then you got Premier Boxing that's having their boxes on the weekend. So I think this might be the last time we might see a big fight, a pay-per-view fight on HBO.
Because ESPN have boxing on every
weekend, Wednesdays.
Right?
Well, not every Wednesdays, but they have Wednesday fights, they have Friday fights, and they have a couple of Saturday night fights. So the Wednesday fights is normally like, I like watching those fights because those be like fights of guys that's like 5-0, up and coming, trying to like make a name for themselves or whatever. So the Wednesday fights be pretty entertaining. They only be like six rounds, but it be like some thrilling fights. And then the fights I like to see guys where I'm like, okay, y'all need to look out for him. Need to look out for him. And then next thing you know, they go from fighting on Wednesday to fighting on pay-per-view. And I'm like, I remember that dude was fighting on Wednesday nights on ESPN, and now look at him now. So y'all like watching those ESPN midday fights, man. They be pretty dope. But yeah, the Canelo and Triple G. Look, people, when I said my tweet on Twitter, I was like, yeah, I think I got, you know, Canelo edging this one out. Of course, Twitter was Twitter. They lost their shit. Like, oh, man, what fight was you watching and not us? I'm like, look, I don't have an issue with you saying Triple G won because it could have went either way. But you can't tell me that Canelo was walking this guy down consistently. Mm. Like, nobody walks Triple G down. Triple G has been known for walking people down and knocking them out. So it's like, this dude, Canelo, had a game plan. He stuck with it. He made his adjustments. And look, can't get mad at the dude. He got the, he won the fight, you know. So I'm just mad at that top 10 pound for pound. I was very I was very upset at that because, yeah, you know I've been talking about Terrence Crawford and
Errol Spence
for like the long – and I hope that fight happens in 2019. Yeah, I hope that fight happens in 2019. And I even text you every time they fight. I'm like, yo, Terrence Crawford fight. Y'all turn to this and watch it. Like, yeah, I hope Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence fight because that's like the – that'll be like the Sugar Ray Leonard, Tommy Hearns like level of like, because they both welterweights and Tommy Hearns and Ray Leonard was welterweights when they fought. Mm-hmm. So it's like, this will be the level of hypeness if Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford fight. I want that fight to happen.
What do you think about Mayweather, the rumors?
Nah, I don't think that's happening. Because you figure, what, it's September.
It's a weird rumor.
Yeah,
but he said it.
Is that the one where he said he want to rematch with?
Yeah, with Pacquiao. Yeah. He said he's gonna fight him this year. It's September.
I think he just reaching because he ain't that because he's not in it no
in
more.
In the spotlight, yeah, he missed the spotlight.
He missed the spotlight.
Like I think when he retired, I feel like he's really retired. I think he's 50-0. He's like, what else I need to prove? But I think it's like he got that Michael Jordan syndrome. You know, remember when Michael Jordan first retired in '98, and it was like, okay, he ain't coming back. Nah, he going out like this. And then I think Michael Jordan had that itch, man. He was I think he was in the front office for the Wizards, and he just was like, all right, I'm coming down.
But
coming down.
I feel like it's coming from more of the fact of their people always saying like, oh, you fought Pacquiao way after his prime and all that stuff. So I think
and the fact that they made an excuse that he had a bum shoulder
and everything. So I
which
think
was BS.
He wants to do it again.
And just be like, look, yeah.
I beat him twice. After the first, like, y'all had to excuse the first time, second
time. To say
time.
December, though, that's, and for the age that he's at, and Pacquiao, because, you know, Floyd Mayweather's 41. Pacquiao is like 38, 37. So, I mean, he's up there, too. That's old in boxing. So, for him to say, I'm fighting him this year, we like 3.5 months away from 2019. So, it's like, you're gonna, are you in the gym right now, Floyd? Like, are you already training or something? It's like,
and the setup for that fight takes time.
It
too,
takes
let alone,
time. Yeah. Now it'd have been different. You said I'm fighting in March of 2019.
Yeah.
All right, that makes sense. But December, you're saying you're gonna fight him in December of this year? I don't see that. I don't see that happening. I think that's just, yeah. I agree with Nick. I think that's just Floyd just like, yo, I want the spotlight. Like,
yeah,
I'm still here.
Yeah,
I'm still here. I'm Floyd. Look, like, you know, hey, I'm undefeated. No one beat me. But now I'm sitting back and, like, I don't know.
And man. I don't think many people really bit on that, did they?
That's what I was going to say. Maybe it was also a thing to see, like, how many people actually want to see him fight again.
And based off what I saw on Twitter and Instagram, nobody was really – they was really taking the bait.
Yeah,
just kind of like whatever, dude. Like, dude, you're 41 years old. Like, it's just the age you're at, Floyd. Like, no, like, stop it, dude. Like, no, I don't believe it.
Okay, all right. This broke today. This is actually just happened the day of the recording. Because I think you guys probably hear this tomorrow, well, Thursday. So anyway, but yeah, Jimmy Butler, man, requested a trade from the Timberwolves.
Bulls, you mean?
Timber Bulls.
Yeah, we've sort of covered, like, his issues with their organization, them being young and and all the other stuff. And now it's come to fruition, I think. So he wants out. Which isn't surprising.
No, it's not. Yeah. It's not surprising.
And, you know, there was
the writing was on the wall.
Yeah.
It was on the wall.
I thought he was going to wait till the –
I did
obviously
too.
Obviously, the next year, off season.
I did too.
But to do it now is interesting.
And I'm surprised three of the teams that he want to go to, I'm surprised with two of them. One of them I'm not surprised with, of course.
Wait, you talking about the Clippers and the Nets?
Yeah, the Nets.
Well, he did say there's always
Clippers and Nets? Like, I thought this dude wants to win.
Those are the three markets that can give him that money that he's looking for, too, because they have the cap space. And also, he's been talking to Kyrie, and there's been sources that saying that they're talking to another superstar player or a player who's very well accomplished. I forgot who reported it as one of the ESPN sources.
Mm-hmm.
And basically they've talked about joining up and doing it in New York. Now, LA is random, which makes me think that he's also talking to Kawhi because Kawhi's also talked about going to the Clippers as well. He said either Lakers or Clippers.
Right.
So if it doesn't work out in LA for, Kawhi, as far as the Lakers, he could
you
say,
mean
hey,
Toronto.
Jimmy.
You mean
if he doesn't work out for Toronto, I think he's gonna leave Toronto.
You think he's gonna leave before the trade deadline? Kawhi?
No, I think he'll play the full season.
Okay.
Because I think the execs want to see a full season of him. See what he's doing.
That makes sense.
And see how far he could take the Raptors. But nonetheless, I think he's leaving. And I think it'd probably most likely be the Clippers. Because I think right now nobody wants to play with LeBron. Because that's, I don't know if you were talking about that story earlier on, but I was reading another report from CBS that the fact that LeBron went to L.A. kind of turned Jimmy off a little bit.
Really?
As far as his free agency. Yeah.
Okay.
Because he is basically saying, like, he's worked so hard himself. You know, he was a – was he a second-round or late first-round pick? He worked his way up, you know, became superstar. Yeah.
He was
a two-way –
he was late first-round.
One of the first – like, one of the few two-way players that are actually respectable.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that I think he does, he's kind of like, and it makes sense because he's friends with Kyrie. He don't want to be in somebody's shadow or like saying like, oh yeah, only LeBron's gonna get the praise.
He'll be in Kyrie's shadow.
Not really. They're kind of. I mean, Kyrie has the ring, but I still feel like Kyrie still has a lot to prove too because he got that ring with LeBron.
He wants to prove a lot, but I still think that like Jimmy was a marquee player because he was with the Wolves. But are you playing with Kyrie, I think Kyrie is going to be the star. Not like Jimmy B will be second fiddle, but remember him and Derrick Rose kind of battled for that prime spot when Rose was out and he became the man. But Joe Cowley said that, you know, he was frustrated with the nonchalant attitudes of Towns. He wasn't going to sign the extension. And, yeah, much like you all, surprised that he was doing it now and not waiting. And, you know, like you already mentioned that he wanted to go to New York to play with Irving. I was surprised by L.A. too, until you brought up the fact that about Kawhi. And then now it kind of sense.
They could be in talks like, look, he might be talking to Kawhi like, look, I'm about to go over to Clippers. Mm-hmm. Once you finish up with Toronto, go over there, come over to the Clippers with me.
And the reason why I was surprised he did it now is because the general manager for the Knicks, I forgot his first name, Mills, he was saying that he's not – right now they're in a great space as far as the franchise and the organization. They're not trying to trade any draft picks. They're not trying to trade any players. Mm. They want to just – they say right now
just
New York
– just run through the season.
Right now New York is getting they're getting a new change of scenery as far as like the way players are looking at New York. Because there was a point in time and just now getting out of it where nobody was really trying to go to New York to play because it was just like purgatory.
Yeah.
So now
the front office was bad.
So when you hear that Kyrie's possibly trying to come, Durant maybe want to come, like now it's
they renovating
like
Madison Square Garden.
You got Porzingis. Yep, you got the
got a good coach.
You got a good coach.
Respectable coach.
Yeah. Yep. Now you got rookie Knox.
Kevin Knox shows promise.
Yep. It's looking like a destination. And my thing is, if Jimmy's trying to request a trade, you have to give up something.
Right.
But I think he said that he's willing to sign an extension to whatever team he goes to.
Yeah, he did.
My thing
is, the
Knicks, if he tries to go to the Knicks, they would have to give up so much just to get him.
Yep.
And then you're paying him that, you know, what is it, like $190 million deal?
And that's the case. He should just – and I think I said this before, like, because I was predicting, like, Knicks going to make a splash next offseason. Like, just wait it out this season. When that July 1st, 2019 hit, make that splash for Jimmy Butler and whoever else you want to bring up, Kyrie Irving and stuff.
Exactly.
Like, wait, play this season out. Like you said, just let them just ride this wave, whatever, and then once that free agency start, bam. Okay, so I just saw something on Black Sports Online, right? Internet detectives present evidence that Jimmy Butler hooked up with Karl Anthony Towns' girlfriend, which caused their breakup and was part of the reason Jimmy Butler demanded a trade.
Well,
that box.
There was a
gossip site.
That's crazy how he's turned into that.
Well,
but what if that's true,
though? It's interesting because when
because
Towns is supposed to re-up with the Bulls,
right?
And
right.
from his rookie deal,
mm-hmm.
The thing is, it was sources that said that he was meeting with everybody, the president, GM, and all that, to talk with Jimmy before he even makes that decision. I thought when I read it that it was more like him trying to convince him to stay and say like, look, we can do this, you know, I'll change. Like same thing that Russell did with KD.
Yeah.
It might now be just to holler at him like, hey,
I need
bro,
to
like,
holler at you, bro.
Yeah, real talk, and I need witnesses too. Just
dang,
but
hollering at his girl.
I mean, you.
That's Jimmy, why D Wade. That's why D Wade went off.
That.
That's why D Wade went off on Gene Butler. Like, look, man.
Damn.
Hey, Jimmy a snake.
Wow.
Jimmy the snake.
Wow.
Damn. Wow. Jimmy got.
Yep.
So that is crazy.
That's what's going on in the industry.
He keep Jimmy's with him. That's what it is. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, that, yeah, really.
That is nuts, that's crazy, man. Yeah, this man, the NBA, man, this is why the NBA is great. Like, it's really never a dull moment. Like, it's been quiet now because they're just ramming up to get ready for the season. But here we are. Like, just
so today. Many storylines. So yeah, many storylines.
It never fails. And now everybody's back to work. Zach Lowe saying the Clips can provide the best win now package of the three listed suitors that he provided. You know, I think with Jimmy, man,
that's a big price tag though. 190 million. It's like $40 million a year.
Yeah. I don't think is he worth Jimmy, it? And that's what I was about to ask. Like, is Jimmy worth whatever you're willing to give up? Depending, I mean, obviously it depends on what you're willing to give up. But right. When I think Jimmy, man, we got a chance to trade for Jimmy Butler. I don't get excited about that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's not Kawhi.
He's a package deal to me. Like, if he comes with Kyrie, I'm like, I love that.
Yeah.
But if he's by himself, I'm not, because he's
I'm not jumping through loops to make. Like,
he's on the wrong side of 30.
Yep. He is.
He had his numbers, while they're really good all-star numbers, they're not – he's not moving the needle, because as you can see on the teams that he's, like, been the man, the face of, they haven't – like, damn, look at the Wolves.
He'll get you to the playoffs.
He'll get you to the playoffs, but he'll get you bounced out first round. Look at the Wolves. Look at the Bulls.
Right.
Because he's bound to get hurt at some point.
And he's injury-prone, too.
Yeah.
At least with Kyrie, you could say, at least he got a ring. He made the shot. You know, like, just get him there.
Jimmy's,
that's all you need.
Jimmy's somewhat clutch. Jimmy.
He is, but we never seen him in those moments, like, that, you know.
When he was with the Bulls, he had a couple of moments.
In the playoffs?
Yeah, one or two.
I mean, defensive moments, if you want to go there.
Well, I think,
I would say
it's probably when he was younger, when people were trying to hype him up, and I didn't think he was going to be all that good. Yeah. And then he came back, and he had an offensive
game.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay. Because I thought they were just, LeBron stopper, Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
And he was making a couple of big shots.
I thought he had more defensive moments than offensive moments.
But he developed his offensive game, and we're like, okay.
Yeah.
Because I always thought it wasn't going to last. But he carries, like, the air of being a guy that can hit a clutch shot. Like, you know he's going to get it. Sometimes he can hit it. And he has hit big shots. Like, he definitely has it. But I guess when you put it in context of the playoffs or something like that, have we seen many, and do we expect them from him? Is that
and then you put it with the price tag. It's like, because you taking up a lot of cap space to sign other talent. Mm-hmm. Is he worth, you know, risking losing other potential free agents?
On top of that, now we have the second organization that he's been with that he's been a problem. You know, we talk about distractions and all this stuff in the NFL. He had issues getting along with Derrick Rose in Chicago because he wanted to be the man, and he felt like Derrick Rose fell apart and
never did recover. Yeah.
Which he was right about.
He was.
That was Rose's team. And he tried to be that snake he is and tried to undercut him and snatch him.
But we all knew that Rose was like,
he wasn't the same.
He wasn't the same. Yeah.
But that's why when Kevin Love went out, you know, everybody thought, oh man, the Bulls were going to get him. I wasn't part of that. I didn't have the Bulls beating the Heat. No, the Cavs that year. My co-host did. Some of my co-hosts did. You can go listen to the episode. but yeah, that was the LeBron game winning shot year, and they came back and they beat him. But part of that friction and part of why that happened was because Jimmy and Derrick Rose they had no chemistry. They were not getting along in the playoffs that year. So fast forward to now, he goes to Minnesota. Same thing. Like, he's not getting along with the players. Yeah, they're younger players, and, you know, being an elder statesman myself, I understand. I get it. But you also have to understand that, bro, like, well, he's only 30. Like, they're 20-something. Well, are you that removed?
And that's why when he was with Chicago, and that whole situation happened in Chicago when he was with Wade and Rondo, Rondo was the one who spoke up. And you know, if Rondo's speaking up and saying, you're messing up.
You know, messing up. Yeah.
And that's what stood out to me. It was like, hold on, Rondo's the voice of reason in this locker
room? Right, right.
So I think you may be right. He not only is he on the wrong side of 30, injury prone, he's asking for a lot of money.
He could be a cancer in locker rooms.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Yeah, so, and then, yeah.
You might be talking me out of me hoping that he goes to the Knicks now.
Yeah,
we're just trying to get right.
Yep, you're just trying to get right. Nah.
I ain't even.
I'm trying to think, like, I would personally like to see him in New York with Kyrie. I think that would be fun. And Porzingis, I think it would be exciting. And Porzingis.
That team would be
and
stacked.
And Kevin Knox. That would but be a again, if they have to trade for him, what are you giving up? You can give up right. Nicolina. Y'all can get him up out of
the Nutella?
Yeah, that's get, what I get out of here. You can give up him. And
that's about
do
it.
Do they still have Tim Hardaway?
We still got Tim Hardaway.
Yeah, because he came back. He was at Atlanta.
He came back and
it.
He signed that big contract everybody thought he didn't deserve.
Yeah. But if you're the Timberwolves, do you want that? We don't know.
Do you have a choice? That's the thing.
Get something or
because
get
you know
nothing.
Everybody know he was leaving this summer anyway. Mm-hmm. So either you try to get something for him now, or you just let him walk because he's a free agent.
All right.
I would try to get Knox, of course. You're probably not going to.
You're not
going to
get Knox. They're not going to give up. They're not giving Porzingis or Knox. I think they'll give up anybody else. But
he's
those
not
two.
Worth Porzingis like that. Like if I'm Thibs or whoever's running that organization. You can ask for him, but you'll be a damn fool
hell,
if you're
right.
gonna get him. Like that's
of course you should ask for him. You should ask for the best.
Yeah,
you know,
but you already know. Like you just asking just cause.
Yeah,
like
he's untouchable.
You might be a fool today.
Right. You know? Right.
But you know you're not gonna get him. You know, like I would ask for Kevin Knox. I would ask for the other guy, Nicolino, whatever his name is, and maybe Tim Hardaway, but Junior. But I that's it. Like. I don't know what I would be willing. If I was the Knicks, what would I give up to get Jimmy Butler, knowing that I could get Kyrie Irving the next year, possibly? Because you may have to make a trade for Kyrie. Then what?
Well, you wouldn't if Kyrie doesn't demand a trade.
Yeah.
But
same way with Kevin Durant.
Ainge, though, and you're thinking Tatum's my guy, Brad Stevens is my guy, Jaylen Brown is my guy.
Rozier.
You just
re-signed
a guy.
You re-signed Marcus Smart.
Marcus Smart is a guy, but I got two guys. Mm-hmm. And Hayward, right? So
you don't really what does he need at that point?
Right. So do I really we all know Kyrie generational talent. You don't want to give it up. But if you know that Brad Stevens is the engine that make all of this works, you could probably say, okay, I could trade Kyrie for some pieces. That's Danny Ainge. He's always looking to do that.
Mm-hmm.
If he looks at him, he's like, man, I don't know if this guy can really be healthy.
Yeah.
You know, let me get some assets in return for him. And so that's something that New York will have to consider. And then you have to, you know, obviously see what.
What would the Nets be able to give up?
The Nets?
Besides draft picks.
Brooklyn Nets?
Yeah.
Because they can't give up Russell because they already got a point guard. Timberwolves got a point guard, don't they? They got Jeff Teague.
They got Jeff Teague.
Yeah, but D'Angelo.
That's what I'm saying.
Who's
like,
better, D'Angelo Russell or Jeff Teague?
I would go with the birth certificate, so I'll go with Russell just because he can grow into. I mean, you already know what Teague is, who he is.
Right, yeah, he's a ceiling. He hit a ceiling.
Russell just
he has it.
Russell's in his, what, third, fourth?
Third.
Yeah, so he's still young. He could still.
He just wasn't made for L.A.
No.
Yeah, like everybody hyped him up to be. I told him that he wasn't going to be that guy, but, you know, it's whatever.
I don't know who the Nets have, man. Like
Nobody.
They just can offer him a parking spot. That's about it. Like, I don't really see what Brooklyn could give to them.
Exactly. I don't know what they can do. So, yeah, Knicks.
Unless they bring the third team in.
What the Clippers can give them?
You have DeAndre Jordan. You still got Tobias Harris.
But they already got their center in Karl-Anthony Towns, don't they?
Yeah, but you might need a back, somebody come off
back
the bench.
Up?
Yeah. Or maybe move Towns to the, you know,
to
just
the
like,
forward.
Like Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins was.
So move him to the power. Yeah, I can see that.
Because he is, especially in the playoffs, you saw that he's more of a stretch forward than a five because he's not trying to bang.
So, yeah, he can be a four and then DeAndre Jordan can play the five.
Tobias Harris, who else they got? I think they got Lou Williams. So you got some pieces, some draft picks.
Yeah,
they got more pieces than the Nets.
Yeah, they got definitely
easily.
A lot. It's a conversation with L.A.
Yeah, it is. It is. It ain't. The Nets, it's really nothing. Just
I'd be surprised if they pick up the phone.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Damn.
Yeah, I just don't think Butler.
What do y'all feel about Butler not wanting to go to L.A. because of LeBron, if that's true?
It's not surprising because, I mean, you know, this is the guy that thought he was better than the MVP. And if you thought – and, yeah, the MVP, you know, Derrick Rose, the once MVP, was a shell of himself, true. But Jimmy Butler has an ego. So
I
can see him not wanting to go.
I don't think he want to be in LeBron's shadow.
Yeah.
I feel like he ain't the only one, though. I feel like there's a lot of other
players. There's a lot of superstars that feel that way?
I feel like a lot of players, people think that because it's LeBron, it's kind of like if if this was happening with like Jordan or something like that, anybody would want to play with them. But sometimes some people either they just want to compete against you or they just feel like they won't be able to get enough shine. Because and I brought this up in some episodes in the past, like, does LeBron really make other teammates better, or he just makes them fit what he does best? And I don't think Jimmy Butler wants to be a spot up shooter.
Right.
He wants
to
have, you know, he wants to do what he does. So,
and he won't have that. He won't have that opportunity playing. Nah. He won't.
Well,
he won't.
I
and then you got to share the ball with Lonzo. You got to share the ball with Ingram. You got to share the ball with Kuzma.
Stevenson.
You
got,
it's just.
Yeah. If I was Jimmy Butler, I wouldn't want to go to L.A. either.
Lakers, you mean?
Yeah, to the Lakers. Yeah, right. I guess there are two L.A. teams. Yeah, I wouldn't want to go to the Lakers either. I wouldn't want to play there. That's clearly his team. He's the man. And, you know, I'll be second fiddle. And if I got a chance to lead my own team like I had in Minnesota, like I had in Chicago, then, yeah, I'll want to do that. So I think it might be more about Jimmy. And yeah, LeBron's a factor, but I think it's really more about Jimmy's ego and wanting to be the guy.
So it's pretty much he got either play in New York possibly with Kyrie or play in Clippers possibly with Kawhi.
And that's the thing. Like, I think this actually we have to look at Kawhi now, because Kyle, what, you know, it's leaked out there. I don't know how true it is.
He's only playing
that Kawhi
one.
Wanted to
I don't
go
think
to.
He's gonna stay.
But well, remember, said, they were saying he wanted to go to the Clippers.
Well, he said that he'll play it out in Toronto.
I
guess he's just trying to be nice to their fan base. Like, you know what, I ain't gonna just mail it in this year.
He has to repair his image.
And that's the reason why I think he's gonna be like, you know what, this could actually be beneficial to both of us. If I show you what I'm capable of still. As like, I'm still the same superstar, still the same finals MVP. Then that will even make sure that that's a done deal as far as my max contract.
But if you're Kawhi, do you want to go play with Jimmy Butler or you want to go play with LeBron? Do you want to go play at Showtime?
Well, I mean, does he have a choice? Because he got out of a
Good situation. After this year, right?
No, I mean,
he'll be a free agent.
I'm just saying, does he have a choice to not go to either one of those teams? Because, like, what else are you going to do?
Right.
Because you already got
You left a good situation.
You left San Antonio because you wanted to do your own thing and you felt like that organization wasn't looking out for you. So, like, why wouldn't you? Like, are you going to stay in Toronto with what they have? Because they look
like
they're
not staying in Toronto.
Okay,
I'm talking about the Clippers or the Lakers, because we already know he's moving. That's a given. Unless something changed. I don't think there's going to be a Paul George situation.
I think if he has it.
Because Lakers going to have money.
Yeah, if it comes down to. Yeah, because all the people they sign is like one-year deals.
Right.
I think if it comes down to if he could have his own team, I think he will will choose that option. But if it
the
comes.
Clippers.
With the Clippers. But if it comes to like nobody's really trying to go to the Clippers, then he'll go to the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
If the Clippers got Jimmy Butler.
That's interesting. That'll perk his ears up.
It wouldn't perk my ears up. I'm going to play with LeBron. I would if I'm Kawhi, but look I would
at
go.
The Clippers have an owner who's willing to throw money at anybody. The Clippers have a decent to good coach when he wants to be, when he's not giving up 3-1 leads
right.
and shit.
Right.
But and also
multiple times.
They also have at least some decent, you know, players to surround them with.
They don't have Magic Johnson. They don't have that Laker history.
Magic Johnson hasn't proved anything yet.
Yeah,
that's
I was about
all I'm
to say,
say,
yeah, he only been there what
he's one year?
Yeah.
This is the year that he's showing that he could do something?
Yeah.
Now, I know people said it didn't take a lot of effort, but we're not going to give him credit for getting, like, LeBron.
Yeah,
I thought that was already done a year ago before he even got hired. Like, people were saying that he was going to L.A.
I mean, yeah, it was rumored.
When the Cavs season started.
He still had to make it happen.
Right.
Like, I still think, yeah. I don't know. I think Magic deserves some props. He's definitely
Like you said, it's just this is his first year. Let's see how the
the season ends.
They're positioned well.
They
and
are.
I understand what you're saying, but from what they were
to now,
you know, their record improved, you know, while he's there, and now you got LeBron and you got a GM, a guy that knows how to win and that can sell, you know, damn near anything. So he knows what it takes to win. You want to go there. And Doc Rivers does too. I'm not going to discredit him. But we all know the Clippers, man, like they're
always
cursed.
They cursed and they the stepchild of LA.
Yeah. Why would you want to do that? If you're Kawhi.
My thing is once the Chicago Cubs won the World Series, I feel like it gave hope to every franchise.
It's
that Kevin Garnett quote. Anything's possible.
Anything is possible, right. But not as a Clipper.
Because not as a Detroit Lion.
They had some good. They had championship rosters.
They did, but it was injury bug that always got
the curse.
The Clipper curse.
And what is Kawhi? What happens to Kawhi? He gets nicks. Gets hurt.
What Kawhi does is if he has a headache, he's done for the game.
All right, so he'll probably do that. And then
I'm with you, Cam. Go to the Lakers. Yeah, go to the Lakers.
Showtime, baby.
Go to the Lakers.
And then you got Jimmy Butler all on your ass about some mess.
But if he did go to the Lakers,
Kawhi ain't gonna pull up with that mess.
What team are they with the Lakers that he wouldn't be with the Clippers? Because I understand LeBron's there, and he's obviously 90% of the reason why you would go there. But outside of LeBron, is Lonzo going to be the point guard that you want to face rest of the point guards in the West?
One thing I know about Lonzo, you know the old saying, you can't teach height. So he got that. He's young, and you know he does everything.
Good court
else.
Vision, yeah, got yeah. Great court
so
vision.
He'll set the table. I mean, he would actually be perfect for Kawhi Leonard and LeBron James, because he'll be setting that table, and for everybody else, he'll be setting that table up. So you'll have.
And I don't know if they're still going to keep Rondo another year for the toughness.
Nah, I think everybody who they signed this summer outside of LeBron is 1 year deal.
So you think Stevenson gone? You think Rondo going to be gone?
Beasley's going to be gone.
JaVale McGee.
Everybody's going to be gone.
Luke Walton.
Because DeMarcus Cousins is going to be a free agent this summer. Dwight Howard might be a free agent. There's a lot of other players that are going to play a factor this upcoming summer.
You got a lot of young, early first-round talent.
Draymond Green. Damn.
You know, I know you don't believe much in Brandon Ingram, but his talent is there. It just depends on how they develop him. You know, so you'll have that. So you have Lonzo. You have Ingram. You have Hart.
I'm really interested to see how Ingram going to develop this season.
I am too.
With LeBron,
and maybe they trade some of that talent,
and they could
to get other players.
But right. Now they're in a position where they don't have to. So then you can get Kawhi to add on top of that, and we know what he can bring to the table defensively.
Yeah, then you're gonna have all that money in the offseason because they didn't, like you said, they signed everybody else to 1 year deals. So it's not like
I'm just saying as far as compete, like because obviously once you get all that talent, are they still gonna be able to beat the Warriors? That's at the end of the day,
I give them a strong chance. We seen LeBron has went toe to toe with them solo.
So if you add Kawhi
toe to toe,
yeah.
What finals was you watching?
The first one, the one when Kyrie and Kevin Love got hurt.
Yeah, okay,
and LeBron was putting up like 37.
Yeah, but that was without Durant.
Yeah, but he was still going toe to toe. He didn't have his two and three best players.
In your head, replace some of those guys on that roster.
I'm just saying
that would help kind of. Because
his second best player that series was Dellavedova.
Yeah.
And this dude was taking him to town.
Dellavedova was hot for a game and a half.
Deli, man.
Like, he had Deli and he had Amon Shepherd and Tristan Thompson. So, and he still forced them to six games by himself. Mm-hmm. Without Kyrie and K Love. So that was impressive.
But now you add far better talent. Now coaching.
That's the thing.
That's going to really be interesting.
Well, he's going to be gone by this time.
But I think the difference would be Kawhi, because we know Kawhi is a lockdown defender. Last we seen of him,
he was
a lockdown defender. We don't know now.
But the coaching situation. So what if LA, I guess, into the All-Star break, what if they are 15 games over 500? And they're third in the West.
So what is that, 50 games or 45 to 50 games?
By the time All-Star break,
it's not about the record. It's about first they
the
have
players,
to,
how the players
the how the players look chemistry wise. Mm-hmm. Can they make the playoffs? And if they do, can they get out the first round? If he can do all three of those things,
you think he's good?
He is going to be good. Like he'll get another year.
Okay.
If
they don't win 50, but they get out the first round?
Obviously the playoffs count. They matter way more than the chemistry and all that. As long as they win games, nobody cares. But to win games, you have to have good chemistry. You have to be focused. Mm-hmm. And I think right now, I don't really see this Laker team being that focused on winning or like winning right now. I think they're already in 2019 summer.
Yeah,
like,
I do too.
I don't think none of them, that's why I don't really expect much out of this season.
Yeah, I think Magic and them is kind of like, you know what, just ride this season.
And that's
LeBron.
Why he said, he was like, give me 2 years. I only need is 2 years. Because if we don't do it by 2019, then obviously we ain't going to do it ever.
Right, right.
So,
and I think he told LeBron that. I think he told the coaches that, like, just
He set the table.
Yeah, just let's just ride out this year. You know, I'm not expecting a this is not a championship or bust season. Mm-hmm. Let's just see what we can do with these young group of guys and LeBron. And like you said, let's see if we can get
now past LeBron's going to go out there to try to win a championship.
Right.
But I don't even think he does that.
I don't think so either.
I don't think because he realizes that he's on the decline.
Bro, LeBron as much step on the court. Without thinking he can win a title.
No, I'm just saying, like, he's not to say he's on a decline as far as his stats.
I know what you mean.
But it's he knows
like
the best days are past
right,
him.
Like, he's like, LeBron is like at that peak. Like, well, we thought that last year he was about to start coming down.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, he's not going to waste a prime, like, his prime time, like, his dominance on a season that's not going to do much but get you barely out of the first round.
But then he'll be a year older, like,
yeah, but then he'll have Kawhi, if he plays like how
he'll have another match player.
Yeah, he'll have somebody who could take the load off.
He wanted to play defense as
he wanted to play defense, and he has somebody who could just pass it off. And then if Ingram and Kuzma and Lonzo
develop
well, he could average what 22 points, and that's it.
Telling you, Ken, they just gonna ride this season out. They're not like
right
this
now.
Is it.
He just wants to make sure that these young boys is focused and they're ready to compete. Yep. I think right now he's gonna be very. He'll be very passive this season.
I see what you guys are saying. Yeah. He's playing the long game. Yeah. Right. He's playing not for this year, possibly for next year, the year after.
He just wants to make the team look good and attractive.
However,
think about the conversation that Magic and him had 3 hours before LeBron made that announcement. So this is
They were scheming.
Yeah, this season is just setting the table, man.
Because Magic been to non-finals, too.
Yeah.
So he knows.
He knows.
He has four on his record.
That's what I'm saying. So just imagine that conversation. LeBron, look, you're going to sign this for 4 years. Just trust me in this four-year process. I'm telling you.
And this could be LeBron's last contract. Like, this could be how he goes out. So I think he's
with every other move he's making off the court.
I mean, he's doing Space Jam 2
and
all that.
He's doing it like it's his last contract.
Like,
he's trying to go out with a bang.
Dude, got documentaries out everything.
He's doing
out.
Movies and all
I'm
that.
Jealous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, yeah, HBO shows.
I want to be doing all that.
So I think he's really just like you said, Ken, like he's playing the long game and he's doing all in 2019. Now, if they don't do much like a big splash in 2019 with all those free agents coming out.
Oh, there's going to be a big splash.
And all that cap space they're going to have.
If they can't sign like at least one or two of those guys,
it's going to be a wrap. They're going to get somebody. They already talking to somebody. They're going to have somebody. Right now, I think it's going to be Kawhi. So it's
just damn sure ain't going to be Jimmy. That's all we know.
Nah,
it ain't going to be Jimmy.
I
want
to bring Jimmy and LeBron in a fighting, man. So anyway, man, that was unexpected today. We knew that they were meeting. I didn't know it was going to go like this. I thought he was going to meet and be like, yo, these young boys crazy, y'all. You know, and we need to do something about this. He was like, yeah, nah, y'all got to get rid of me. Let's switch over to the NFL. I think the other big news that came out today was Brady being fed up with Belichick. Now, I'll say this. I thought throughout the whole offseason that they just needed something to talk about. They were making this stuff up because for years, what did they do? The Patriot way. Belichick. Discipline. Trade you too soon. You know, all of this stuff. All they did was heap praise on both of them. And now all of a sudden they were picking them apart and tearing them apart. And it's just like, what happened? And apparently there was a real rift that was going on.
But I think it leads to what you were just saying. Like, it's the Patriot way. The Patriot way is a burden on a player, especially a superstar player like Tom Brady. The Patriot way is making sure that
Patriot way got him 5 Super Bowl rings.
The Patriot way is like a communist system to football players. Like nobody is everybody's even, everybody's equal.
Yep.
No matter how great you play, no matter how terrible you are or whatever, anybody can get cut. You know, it doesn't matter. And when that whole Garoppolo situation, how that played out, when Brady was on the edge of getting released, because I really think that this season he was going to get released and Garoppolo was going to start.
He was going to be the man
if everything stayed the same. Brady felt like, man, I've been with
Brady
you since
sabotaged.
I've been with you since day one. We won Super Bowls together. Why would you like? I'm telling you, I could play to 45, damn near 50, and I'm still slinging it like
Belichick. Know better. He knows better, and he knows that. Look, 3 of those Super Bowls, Brady was a game manager for the most part. Like and Brady knows that if Jimmy G is what they were selling him as, you know, throughout this whole offseason, and he brought Jimmy G in there and won with Jimmy G, how does that make Brady look? So Brady was like, y'all need to get him out of here because I don't need Belichick to have a quarterback he can win Super Bowls with.
Because it happened twice. We've seen seasons or games without Brady, and they still win.
Bro, he won with Matt Castle. Remember when he had that ankle injury? He was out for the year, and Matt Castle won him 11 games. I don't know. It's crazy that they didn't even make the playoffs that year. But, yeah, Matt Castle, they went 11-5 under Matt Castle because Tom Brady was out the entire year.
They was 2-0 with Garoppolo. They was, what? I think 2-0 with Brissett.
Brissett, who was still underdeveloped at the time.
Right. So it's just like, with his system, any quarterback, it seems like you could just throw
can be successful.
Can be successful and win you games. And that obviously has to sit in the back of his mind. Like, he's showing people that I can be replaced or that we can still be, you know, a Patriot.
I'm not his golden boy like I thought I was.
Yeah, I'm not the favorite child anymore.
Because it's, like you said, common system. It's all about the organization. It's always been about the organization. And Brady, as he's gotten older, he wants credit. And that I understand that, you know, because you've been tethered to Belichick this whole time. And we don't know who's responsible for what. You guys just are the dynamic duo. It is what it is. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But where I find fault with the media is that they've always praised Belichick for doing this. They've always praised Belichick for making roster decisions. And now they're jumping on him for Butler. You know, because it didn't work. There were plenty of times Belichick has made decisions that didn't work. How about the time they went for it on fourth down or whatever and didn't get it? He's made all of these roster decisions, and they've all just gushed over him. This is what he does. He can find anybody and plug him in. You know, he can find this is the greatness of Belichick and his system.
Well, but look,
he makes but one look move at the, that didn't work, and now all of a sudden he doesn't know how to coach or the Belichick way doesn't work.
But look at the players and the situations that were exposed in Super Bowls that caused people to have doubt. Malcolm Butler won them a Super Bowl. If it wasn't for him getting that interception, Seattle is –
Pete Carroll. Yeah, Pete
won.
Carroll.
No, but I'm just saying.
Right,
but
right.
I agree. Nonetheless, he made the play. Right. He made the play. And then you don't play him at all in the Super Bowl.
None. Not even just throw him,
one
not
snap.
Even throw him out there in the second half just to see.
You see like, you're getting busted by Nick Foles and you don't put your best corner in.
And I feel you and I understand a corner that was struggling, you know, in the playoffs.
But he's still your best. You don't
was
know.
Was he if he's struggling? Now, was the guy out there doing any better? No. Could Butler have gone out there and made
could
a play?
Could at least throw him out there, though.
You know, to see. He could have made a play. He could have been so pissed
he was playing,
that he would have got out there and played his ass off.
My thing, he was playing the whole playoffs until that game.
Because something happened. He was screwing up. And I think there was a playoff game where he got cooked. He didn't have a bet. Butler wasn't all that.
I'm not saying he's Deion Sanders.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
People were hyping him up to be that.
He's because of that interception.
Yeah, I agree. And
he was getting cooked.
But my thing is that he is, like, no matter what, he's your best player. You always play your best, you know, 11.
Right.
So
in a game like a Super Bowl.
Exactly.
But, and I understand that. But here's what I'm saying. Any other coach, yes. But Belichick has always made those type of moves. And at times in the past, they've worked. And when they worked, he's gotten praise. When they haven't worked, you know, he hasn't gotten as criticized as he's gotten now. But my thing is, for years, you've always, like, heralded this guy as this genius. He did what he's always done. And it didn't work. And now all of a sudden, you guys are criticizing him for something that he has historically done in the past. Just because it didn't work out in their favor.
No, it's because you're trying to move on from someone who's arguably the greatest quarterback of all time. And it's like, how do you – and with his Patriot way, he always lets players go a year early, not a year later. So – but with Brady, it's like, why would you get rid – like, especially in 2018 where quarterbacks are, like, king and they get all this ridiculous amount of money, they get all this praise – look at Garoppolo. Like, he got $137 million for 7 games.
Let me ask you this. Go ahead.
So, with him being, like, all the accolades you can want in a professional career in football, it's hard to see people move on from him. And, like, and then you wonder, like, well, since you already lost this Super Bowl, how can we even trust you making this decision of cutting Brady early when, so far, you've kind of brought a lot of doubt in your locker room, and you're not even explaining yourself to the locker room. Kind of
like they did with Peyton Manning, who was hurt. I get it.
Exactly.
Kind of like they did with Joe Montana, who also was hurt. I get it.
But he's healthy.
This is the game. This is what they do. Like, they move on from quarterbacks. Yeah,
I agree. But
all the time.
But at the
Brady
same,
is not that special. Any more special than Montana, who had four.
But I'm saying the reason why the media is caping for Brady more than Belichick is because Belichick right now doesn't.
They've made a decision that they're going to side with Brady.
They're going to side with Brady.
Yeah, that's what this is. When they were together and winning and winning all these games, it was like, oh, we like them
together.
The
dynamic
together.
Duel, yeah.
People always go with the quarterback more than the head coach, no matter what situation you're in.
Yeah, but.
That's the same reason why Mike Tomlin's in hot water.
Real quick.
Oh, we'll get to him in a second.
Just to get right back on basketball real quick, this was reported. It was 9:40. It's 9:25. Adrian Woj from ESPN. Jimmy Butler is mostly interested in joining the Clippers. This was just reported about 20 minutes ago, and we was talking about the three teams. And he's most interested in the Clippers, which kind of makes –
maybe he wants that L.A. lifestyle.
Who doesn't like L.A.?
I don't know.
And the Clippers have two max contract slots available in this upcoming July, this upcoming free agency.
I'm telling you.
Emerging front court runner, Kawhi Leonard.
Well,
when he becomes a free agent in July, league sources say. So.
I'm choosing Kawhi over Kyrie.
So
I would too.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw it out there. But back at football, can we talk about my boy, Jalen Ramsey backing up his shit talking. He said Gronk is nothing. Gronk went out there, only had two receptions for 15 yards.
Now, that scheme was nice.
It was.
How they did it, yeah.
But they put a hurting on Brady, too.
But the fact that he was doing all that talking, remember how to – and it's interesting. Did you see my tweet? I saw it. It's interesting how, like, the media's been quiet. They was quiet all week. But let Gronk had a monster game. Oh, they would have been hamming Ramsey.
They would have showed all the highlights.
They would have been showing all the highlights. Ramsey this. Oh, whoop, I guess Ramsey didn't back up his talk, but he shut down Gronk. ESPN, all these networks been quiet as a mouse.
Haven't
said nothing. And they was talking about Ramsey running his mouth. Oh, Ramsey running his mouth. Did he go too far? Is he going too far saying that about Gronk? Why is he saying that about Gronk? I looked at them stats on Sunday. I'm like 15 yards. I'm like, damn. Let's see what SportsCenter say. You know, let's see what these sports talk shows say this week.
But you know what? Haven't heard of Pete. They don't have talent at receiver, and it's so funny. Like in the first game, it was like, how does Brady do it with these proper receivers?
Right.
Number one, he's always done it. So let's stop with that. Troy Brown,
right.
Deion Branch. He's always had no name receivers. He was throwing through. This isn't anything new, but you know, this is what he does. It's the system. You know, like I was going to ask you, could Brady leave New England and go have the same amount of success anywhere else? I don't think so.
I don't know.
You know, so the answer is no. At least we feel that the answer is no.
There's only like two quarterbacks I can see who can go anywhere and succeed.
Right.
And so, he's not one of them.
Yeah. So I'm glad you brought that up, B, because it is interesting when you take a look at the color.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going there.
Yeah.
Because that's a layer underneath. Black guy talking a lot. Black guy, how you going to back it up?
Mm-hmm.
Playing the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Brady the God.
Mm-hmm.
Gronk the God. Greatest tight end of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Shut him down. Nothing. Beat Brady. Nothing.
Nothing.
Oh, well, you know, it's and we all know it's game two. We know that this is kind of them figuring
don't
out
matter.
What team. Belichick, but they won this game.
And they beat them convincingly.
He backed up what he said.
And they beat them convincingly.
Yes.
It wasn't no field goal winning type of game.
And nobody's saying anything. I don't even think has anybody even interviewed Jalen Ramsey since then? Because nobody so there is that layer that's underneath all of this and why they're not giving him the props, you know, or why they're not even saying and pointing out that it happened.
Right.
Because the brother went out and he whooped up on the white man.
Yep.
You know, sorry about my white listeners.
But this is a black podcast.
This is a black show.
right.
You guys know that. You guys know how I am. And this is not me kind of playing the race car. It's just like, it's just how the media works. And you guys got to ask yourself that question. Like, well, that is interesting. Why are they not talking about something that they led up the whole week.
They
to.
Don't exactly. like anointing. They don't like, people don't like players who aren't humble. Mm-hmm. So, and usually, and it does, and even though the race could be a huge factor in this.
It could be,
but
it
most black players talk trash.
There you is hardly a
ever,
factor.
You yeah. hardly ever see white players really talk trash.
Right.
And when they do, it's kind of corny. So when Ramsey was going in on every quarterback and they mama, he had to back it up. Now, he let OBJ have his because he didn't really diss OBJ. He more diss Eli.
Right.
And you could obviously see how Eli's playing this year.
Yeah.
So when he looked at the Patriots, circled the calendar for that day.
And that was a tough matchup. I thought that I'm not going to lie. I thought they were going to beat the mess out of the Jaguars. Because I thought did. They were just talking.
I thought they was. Yeah. I thought Belichick was going to do
put
some.
It on him. Yeah.
Put it on him like he usually does. But for some reason, he pulled through and he did it. And like I said, sports commentators do not like players talking trash unless they're like Hall of Fame players, like people who've already accomplished so much. And obviously, Jalen Ramsey, like he's just now getting his feet wet as far as in the NFL.
He's been one of my favorite players since Florida State.
I love the trash talking. I love
Me
it, especially when you could back it
when
up.
When you were backing up,
I was shocked like the rest of y'all when it came to like no one covered it. They just said, "Oh yeah, the Jags won."
That's Jags beat them. Yeah, Blake Bortles. Yeah, that's it.
They talked about Blake Bortles.
Yeah,
and it's like, first of all, Bortles was doing passes that I could do. To be honest, he wasn't doing. He was just passing it 5-10 yards, letting the players cut it up for 20.
D.D. Westbrook took it on to the. He basically did a Madden move right across the field, went to the corner, and then cut up.
Because he said Gronk was garbage, didn't he?
What no, did he gave him
he
his
said
prop.
He said he's overrated. He's like,
he said he was overrated.
He's good, but
and
like,
then he came back and said he's good. Let's not get it twisted. He's good,
but I'm not scared of him. Yeah, like
I'm not scared of him. And yeah, it was like, okay, and what's wrong with that? But then when you, man, B, I'm so glad because I'm glad you pointed that out, man, because you know that was like the highlight of my week. I'm like, oh man, what y'all gonna say now?
Yeah,
Chris Carter. Like sometimes I don't know where he be going sometimes because on one hand he'll be all, who talks like this? You know, being Chris Carter, being very much as he likes to.
He'll be the company man and he'll flip it every now and then.
Yeah, I don't know any great receiver that talk like this. I played against Deion. Deion didn't do this. Like just going in, just be dogging Nick Wright. Poor Nick Wright. I don't know how Nick Wright do it because I have to see Chris
Carter. It has to be a white man on the other side.
With that tone he be taking, they obviously homeboys and he don't take it any kind of way. And when you homeboys, sometimes Mike can have that type of tone and it don't mean anything by it. But either way, but he was just saying this, but Chris Carter didn't give him his props either. And it's just like, come on, man. Like somebody at least, well, that's why we're here. You know, that's why we the black show. But watch. If they have a rematch and Gronk get off for 150 or in 2 touchdowns, that's all you're going to hear. That's all you're going to hear. And, you know, and that's why, like, you need more black outlets. And that's why I like what we do because, you know, we don't have the huge reach of, like, a ESPN or whatever. But we have some of the reach. And we're going to cover an alternate side that most – bigger companies are afraid to touch on, and you know that's why I'm saying race is a factor.
Speaking of race is a factor, did you see the comment that Stephen A. made about I guess like black players with the whole Josh Gordon situation, like how someone like him, you know, you've been having a lot of off the field issues, and he's still getting picked up by teams as soon as he get released, but someone like Colin Kaepernick, Eric Reid. You know, respectable guys that's fighting for a cause, no one's looking at them.
Yeah, so basically he said that.
Even the dude from the Cowboys, was it Gregory?
Gregory.
Yeah, he kept getting chances, beating up his girlfriend and beating everything.
I'm surprised he's still in the league, especially when the NFL is doing those domestic violence commercials.
Yes.
I'm like.
And, like, he's getting picked up.
And it's Dallas, too.
Right. But Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid can't get picked up.
He said that you can control
problematic like, black players.
Yep, black players that stay in trouble because they're not going to, you know.
Down a short lease.
Yeah. So
they know better.
They're going to be in line.
Yeah.
And guys like Dez, guys like.
Colin Kaepernick. Reid. Yeah.
We understand Cap. I think Eric Reid definitely has legit reasons to be in the league. There's no excuse.
It's no excuse.
I know when he went to when the Bengals was looking at him, they asked him that question, like, are you going to kneel? And I think he either said that he was, or he didn't really give a good answer.
Yeah, he didn't give an answer.
So people just, they don't want to touch that.
Yeah,
they just don't want to feel like they want to deal with that backlash and those headlines.
Here's the funny thing. Have we even talked about the anthem? Is the anthem a thing? Has the media decided we're just not going to cover it anymore? I know the NFL is not doing it. Has the NFL reached out to ESPN and be like, yeah, let's kill this noise, which they would do? That hasn't even been a thing. Like, it's kind of dead now. We're all talking about football. Eric Reed can be on the team. Kenneth Stills is probably still kneeling. I wouldn't know if he did because nobody said anything about
it. Right.
I haven't looked at a Dolphins game, and if he did, so what? We're moving on. We're trying to accomplish stuff now, and I understand he's protesting to get Colin Kaepernick in the league, and that's you know, a valiant effort, and I applaud him for it. But
he's not coming to the league.
But he's not coming to the league. Eric Reed,
he's done too much. He's
he about to get paid.
Shitted on the NFL so much that he about to get paid. They're not going to pay him to come back.
Yeah, because you know he's Nat Turner. You know, and I know some people probably get offended that I said that. You know, oh, you're going to compare in that terms. It's, shut up. But yeah, I think that overall, like, for me, the theme of the show would be just the way that the media, the twice as good thing that seems to be happening with black players in the league. And it's really just pissed me off.
Not even just black players, black coaches, too.
Black coaches. You know, and that's why, you know, that's why I'm pro brother. And that's why I stick up for black quarterbacks that can do, and I want them to do. And I'm going to shoot as much positive vibes out there as possible. We can look at Tomlin, right? You know, and he's getting heavily criticized. And, you know, I give Nick Wright some problems. Nick Wright's like, I don't understand. Like, this guy's the second win in his coach.
When you break down the stats, you know, it makes no sense.
It makes none.
No sense at all. To say that he's the winningest coach outside of Belichick, and obviously you know what Belichick's resume is and how he doesn't even go under 10 games a season. It makes no sense that he's in a hot seat. But right. I understand why he's in a hot seat, though. Because with all, like, look at the Steelers right now. They tied with the Browns and they lost.
The same Browns that the Saints barely beat. But go ahead.
But the Saints beat them. But they tied with the Browns and they lost to the Chiefs, who threw like,
the Saints beat them because the Browns kicker missed field.
The Browns were the Browns,
and the Minnesota Vikings and the Packers also had a tie too.
But I mean, you're talking about Aaron Rodgers and.
Kirk Cousins. We're talking about two competing. But the point is that, yeah, they tied, and we're talking about a competitive Browns team that the Saints struggled to beat, and for all intents and purposes should have lost that game if they would have had a competent kicker. So, I mean, we can do what else, whatever. But I think
– But my point is, like, if you – and that's just the games. Like, look in the locker room. They have the Le'Veon Bell situation. Mm-hmm. You have the whole locker room in mutiny as far as that is concerned. Then you have AB going back and forth with reporters and threatening them and stuff. It's like he's dealing
just
with
just like Jalen Ramsey did.
He's dealing with so much stuff that everybody go, like, if you see somebody's kids acting up, you blame the parent,
right? And
that's exactly,
he's like the scapegoat for.
He's
going
to be the scapegoat,
on,
and like I always told you, then on top of that, he has his quarterback is always talking about retiring. He's always throwing shots at the coach.
If the man want to retire. The man want to retire. And how's that Tomlin's fault?
I'm just saying, he's going to get blamed. Unfortunately, he will be blamed for that.
And that's the double standard that exists.
And I think that
that's why we got to push back on that.
If the Steelers don't go to the Super Bowl, I think he's going to get fired.
They are not firing Tomlin.
I'm telling you.
You know the
– That's my hot take.
You know how the Steelers operate as an organization. How many coaches have they had?
I understand that. They only had like three coaches in the last 60 years.
Who's the second best coach in Steeler history?
Mike Tomlin.
All right. The Steelers don't make moves like that. They stick with their guys.
But you have Hall of Famers who've won multiple Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
Talking mess about Mike Tomlin, saying that he's
my
type of coach. What's his name? The quarterback.
Terry Bradshaw.
Terry Bradshaw. Every interview he's doing, he's talking crap about Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, Terry Bradshaw.
Well, you know, he's a hater. How about this? Do you think this is the first time this happened with the Steelers organization? If I'm asking that question, the answer is no. They had the same problems under Bill Cowher, too. The same problems. As a matter of fact, I decided to go pull it up.
What's you the got some receipts, huh, Ken?
I do.
What's the difference between Bill Cowher and Mike Tomlin?
We already know. But in November 1992, Cowher's first year, Eric Green got busted for violating the league's substance abuse policy. Before the 1994 AFC Championship game, some Steeler players prepped a Super Bowl rap video, then proceeded to lose at home to San Diego. I think they went – no, they didn't go 15-1 that year, did they? What, they went 15-1 one year and lost in the AFC Championship game.
I can look it up.
You know, in 1996, Bam Morris pleaded guilty to felony possession of marijuana. In 2000, Richard Huntley and Earl Holmes got involved in a minicab wooden stool swinging brawl in the locker room. Plaxico Burress was cited for an open container violation in Cleveland of public drunkenness in Virginia while he was a Steeler. Marvel Smith was arrested for using marijuana 2 weeks before training camp started in 2002. Receipts. Porter got ejected for a pregame fight in Cleveland and tried to fight Ray Lewis outside the Baltimore team in 2003. Hines Ward held out of training camp in 2005. That's just a few. And I could put this article in the description for all of you that want to see it for yourself. The point is that this happened under Bill Cowher, white coach.
And to be honest, Bill Cowher didn't even start winning till the end of his tenure as a coach with the Steelers. That Super Bowl was literally his – that was the only great thing that he really did with the Steelers.
So so this lack of discipline – you know, all this stuff is not anything new. And when you see people out there bring back Bill Cowher, maybe you need to go do your Googles.
Yeah,
need to do your research. So I just, because I'm like, okay, this it's annoying. Look, guys, I realize I'm sensitive to it because I'm black. And I understand that the twice as good applies. And when they're constantly criticizing the man that's winning, we obviously know why it's black. Let's not even mince words here. We know it's because he's black. Pete Carroll. I asked Kyle in our thread. I was like, "What other teams in the NFL do you know?" And Kyle's a big time football guy. He loves it. That's all he does. So I knew he would be able to give me an answer. And I said, "Seattle." He was like, "Yeah." Who's the coach of the Seattle Seahawks? Pete Carroll. Who gets most of the blame for their lack of discipline? For the most part, the players. Richard Sherman, Cam Chancellor, you know, all these people.
Bobby Wagner, Earl Thomas.
They always talk about the players, you know, and they'll say Pete Carroll. They'll kind of say he's a player's coach, but he gets a pass. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the whole thing that's been going on and on and on about why they lost the Super Bowl. Look at that narrative that's been out there for years, and people saying that he doesn't control his locker room or anything like that.
Right.
Some may, some are not, but not to the point that they do with Tomlin. Every single day is something with Tomlin. And color, I'm sorry.
The year you're talking about, they went 15-1 was 2004, and they lost to the New England Patriots in the conference championship game.
Mm-hmm. So, Cowher, and they've wanted to get rid of – look, and also, you know, and some of these, to be fair – they wanted to get rid of Bill Cowher, too. Like mm-hmm. you say, he didn't start winning until later in his career.
Until Big Ben got there.
But and they stuck with him. There also were, you know, you can find articles about them saying lack of discipline. And this has been an ongoing thing. Like, it's the immediate thing that people go to. So some of the point is that these same things happened under Cowher. And Bill Cowher did receive some criticism for it as well. And articles were written about it. Especially if you go 15-1 and you lose in the AFC Championship game. Like, imagine if that happened under Mike Tomlin. Oh, my God. But also, the media was somewhat different back then. You were criticized more by the beat writers and the local news organizations
than nationally.
And not nationally mm-hmm. with the ESPNs, because they just did highlights. They didn't do sports commentary. So that plays a factor. But what's happened is, because of the sports commentary, because of social media, it's starting to highlight like the underbelly of racism. So you look at that. You look at Jameis Winston and what's going on with him. And that's the thing that I put on Twitter, and that I put on Instagram. Everybody think it's cute that he went and stole DeSean Jackson's clothes and put it on, and he's out. He's, you know, joking, and yeah,
looking like Conor McGregor.
And, you know, yeah, and everybody ha ha and kiki and oh, this is funny. He really got the locker room. Yeah, DeSean Jackson. Oh, we can't take him out.
Hold on,
you're not gonna take him out because you catching bombs left and right. Why would you?
I can't say that's a race issue. That's more of a performance issue.
That's
performance because Winston, like race. I was saying earlier, Winston is not. He's not playing because he's hurt. He's playing because of, like, off-the-field issues that have been following him since college.
Right. And I'm not disputing any of that. What I'm saying is that, you know, is I'm driving and I'm thinking, I'm like, everybody, this whole thing with Fitzpatrick, yeah, he's balling out. And when he threw that bomb to DeSean Jackson, I thought about our conversation, and I was like, oh, shit, it might be over for Jameis. Because that's what everybody's going to see. We can't take him out. It already came out. You can't take him out. And that's kind of been the narrative. And now it's like, but even though everybody know what's going to happen, we know what's going to happen. And now people saying, well, they say you can't lose your job to an injury, but they say it's not that you can't lose it to a suspension. And I know Jameis is directly responsible for him being in that situation. I'm not trying to absolve him of any of it. But when you have people, questioning, his talent or his ability to be a franchise quarterback, when everybody says he's a franchise quarterback, I'm sorry, I gotta look at race because, yeah, Cam Newton dresses crazy and stuff like that, but Cam Newton also kind of moved a little bit more towards the center when he thought he wasn't black. When Colin Kaepernick was kneeling, he was like, yeah, we all the same color underneath.
Right, right.
And then, but he was winning, he was like, that was his MVP season,
right?
I think. Yeah. Then he started losing. And then he became black again. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Dak. Mm-hmm. Dak wasn't black for a while too. Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm not gonna kneel. That's not what I do. Now he's biracial, right? He's but wait, when Dak started losing, now Jerry Jones starting to criticize him because Jerry Jones don't even want him anyway. Jerry Jones didn't want him last year, so Dak gonna realize that he black too because now they turning on him. Colin Cowherd already flipped on his ass.
He flipping. Yeah, Cowherd. He
gonna flip on Russell Wilson. Watch.
He's going.
Oh, yeah, he's getting ready to.
He's getting ready to. But yep. he can't just yet because he got a Super Bowl.
He can't yet, but he's gonna set it up. I know Cowherd, man. I've been listening to him for a long time. He sets it up where
you can tell who he likes and you can tell who he doesn't like.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And and they like the Russell Wilsons because let's just be real. They don't. They're just a different type of black because we're not a monolith, so
he's that what's that Rob, famous Rob Parker quote? He's that cornball brother.
Yeah, the cornball brother. Yeah,
yeah. Well, we go that far.
That's
just
brother.
Another side of us that based on where they grew up or how they grew up, that's just who they are. Like, we all know people like that. So they're not the urban black, right? So they like them because
they're safe.
Yeah, they're safe. Same thing with Dak. Dak's safe. DeSean Watson, they loved him. Mm-hmm. Oh, they loved him until he couldn't spike the clock and kick a field goal. You saw what they said about him, right?
No, I didn't see that. What did they say?
Man, listen. And this is why I do what I do. This is why I say what I say. This is why I defend as much as I do.
Oh, yeah. You sent it in our text thread today, right?
Yeah. I'm looking it up now. Because this is what we're fighting against. And he says, this guy named, and I'm saying your whole name. Lynn Redden from Facebook thought he was in a private having a private conversation and put it on Facebook. That may have been the most inept quarterback decision I've seen in the NFL. When you need precision decision making, you can't count on a black quarterback. This is why I have to do. I'm not defending Quincy Carter. I'm not defending EJ Manuel. Right. I'm not defending Jamarcus Russell. I'm defending guys that can play and deserve to be able to play. Now, if Jameis gets himself kicked out of league because of his behavior, whatever. But when there's a hypocrisy that I see, when because of, and I understand like the negative connotations, the negative imagery that Jameis has. Mm-hmm. I'm not absolving him of it. Like when people see if you just replace Fitzpatrick's face with Jameis' face and just think of the things that people would be saying. That's all I'm asking you guys out there, to think of the way that conversation would go. And part of it would go because of the things that he's done in the past. And apparently there's a lot of things that he got away with, but at Florida State that we don't know about.
Yeah.
But either way it go, it's just the coverage, the narrative, mm-hmm. And we need Jameis. And I said this when me and Kyle got into a bit debate about it. We need Jameis to be better. I want Jameis to be better because you are a reflection of us, unfortunately. And when you do stuff like that, we carry part of that burden. And then you get stuff like this.
Well, I think it's different now because you just rattled off a bunch of other black quarterbacks. Like, this is probably the most black quarterbacks we've ever seen in NFL history.
And that they're trying to tear them all down.
That are starting franchise quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So I don't really want to group Jameis into the other ones because we don't, like, as black people, we're not monoliths. We don't all, it's not all for one, one right. for all. We ain't the Musketeers. Like, it's some, we have good people, we got bad people, and they just happen to be black. So with my whole point of saying that is, with Jameis' situation, I can't compare that to the Dax criticism, to the Cam's criticism, to the Russell criticism, to the Watson criticism, because those players, they're doing their best to win games. Jameis, I don't know where his head is at right now. So that's why, and like you said, everything.
Based on what I've heard, is he's in a really, really great space.
So, I mean, I hope the brother gets better. I want to see more black quarterbacks. I want to see them doing well. But if you're going to shoot yourself in the foot, then you got to lie in the bed that you made. So if somebody, you know, doesn't do their job and you see somebody else doing it just as better, if not the best, this is the best I've ever seen that offense. That's all I've got to say. Since he's been drafted, this is the best I've ever seen his offense.
I think it's looked as good before. Like
I've never seen him throw.
Who's a running back?
Peyton Barber, I think. They don't really have. That's what I'm saying. They don't have one because he's throwing it down. He's two back to back 400 plus yard games, like over eight touchdowns at least eight touchdowns in the first two games.
I think we're just prisoners of the moment.
I'm waiting for Fitzpatrick to have three or four consecutive Fitzpatrick games.
Yeah, I'm just saying if he keeps this up, there's no reason to go back.
But I won't fight that anymore.
Yeah, you know, especially if they're winning. If they're winning, he's playing like this, then
yeah, that's a fight. I'm not willing to have anymore. Right. It's like, okay, fine, whatever. You know, you know, we'll see what happens. Right. Like, you'll just have to live with the results of it. But when I see Lovie Smith there and they're winning games, and then they fire him for Dirk Cutter.
Jim Caldwell got fired.
4 years, had a winning record, two playoff appearances, and you get fired.
Yeah, this is why, you know, I'm going to be vocal. And this is why I demand and want, like, Jameis don't know me, obviously, but I want him to be better.
He clearly has a higher ceiling than Fitzpatrick. It's just that it's all about that potential. You know, when you see somebody who has potential and they don't really live up to it, they don't put the work in, or they don't really care about the craft,
it's frustrating.
It makes you not even want to deal with them anymore. Yeah. So that's that's the difference I see between him and the other black quarterbacks. But other than that, I agree with everything you're saying.
Yeah, man, it just frustrates me. It frustrates me that he unfortunately ended up in this situation. And I understand that some people may just want to wash their hands of him, you know,
or maybe he needs a new situation. Probably some people sometimes. That's why I think if Mike Tomlin, I really want Mike Tomlin to get fired
want Jameis to go to Pittsburgh.
No, I want him to get. I want Mike Tomlin to get fired because once he leaves Pittsburgh, and they gonna really see how much they need.
We don't want Mike Tomlin to get
fired.
Coaches never get the head coaching job quick once they get fired.
I'm telling. I think
I
he
understand
would.
Why and the framing
right,
around it.
Right,
I
do too.
Because if he gets let go, I think Matt Patricia's probably not gonna get. He's probably gonna get let go after this year. Maybe I think he'll do great in Detroit, or he'll do great in I had another team. Nope. Like I think he could change around another friend. Like he's a really good coach. I don't want him to be in with Pittsburgh where they don't appreciate him, where they're just throwing him under the bus with every other when all this stuff that's going on, this chaotic stuff was going on in the same. You just broke down the whole resume of Bill Cowher, what happened to him, and he won a Super Bowl, and everybody's still thinking like those are glory days, like. Let's see what Pittsburgh looks like without Mike Tomlin.
But Lovie Smith can't get a job. He took Rex Grossman.
That's what I'm saying. I'm worried Tomlin ain't gonna get a job.
Started winning games with Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston, you know, understanding the culture as a rookie, that culture, you know, needed some players.
I think Tomlin, with his resume, he would have like somebody
get another job, but they would not be as loyal to him as the Steelers are, and I think that would be the problem. You know, the patience they wouldn't have, you know, the standards and the noise will follow him. They'll be just as critical of him wherever he goes, you know. And it's unfortunate. It's the system that we live in. But, you know, and I think even Chris Carter even said it today. Chris Carter was like, yeah, it's because he's black. Let's not mince words. He said it's because he's black. And he even pointed out an example when he was playing. And he said Denny Green had to pull him to the side. I think he told this story before.
Man, one time Denny grabbed me, and he was right for grabbing me because I was going off on someone. He was like, you realize right now there's four cameras on us. There's always two on me because I also look good. But he said right now people are saying, no, Denny Green don't have control of this team. Now, this is what I need you to do. I need you to go sit your butt down and act like you got some sense, but I need to tell you something first. I'm going to get rid of these sorry players as soon as I get a chance. So only one out here more upset than you is me. Now, I need you to turn around, shake your head, and go sit down. I was like, yes, sir, coach. And I went right back over there, and we had an understanding. But then he got on me plenty of times, and the optics after the game, win, lose, or draw, was exactly like what we hear coming out of Pittsburgh with Mike Tomlin.
And that's why I'm going to do my best to always push back against the racially coded language of lack of discipline. Because I'll give you another example. Look at Antonio Brown on the sideline talking to his offensive coordinator. Do you remember Brady talking to his players in the video? Do your damn job. Same thing with the coordinator. Do your damn job. You know, and the way that it was covered was completely different, and both were losing. Antonio Brown mad because he's, you know, he got 17 targets. It can't be because, you know, he's not getting targets.
Yeah, they called out like he wasn't celebrating with the Steelers when Big Ben got that touchdown. He was on the side, or like he went off to the side.
Yeah, they just looking at him talking about, oh, he look at him on the sideline. Look at him. Lack of discipline. He don't have any control of his player. Tom Brady. Oh, man, look at him. Passionate. You know, do your damn job. Like, he's really committed. Like, the conversations were completely different. I know what everybody liked to go to. Yeah, but he got 5 Super Bowls. He's earned it. Bullshit. Bullshit. Like, if we're talking about equality and fairness, and I know America isn't built on that, then, you know, that's what it has to be. But it's not about that. You could try to go to that as your default answer as to why it looked different, but we also have to look a layer deep. And it's color. Same thing with Chris Carter had another story. He said,
I remember one time on the Monday night game against the Giants, Randy scored 3 touchdowns in the first half. And I was very demonstrative after the 3rd touchdown with him on the sideline. And people was like, man, Chris Carter's jealous of Randy. It's a circus atmosphere there. Dennis Green has no control. But I was actually just telling Randy Moss, when you are at your best, this is who you are, and this is what you should be doing. Now, how I conveyed that to him, I told him that he was robbing sports fans. Every day he doesn't play his best or give the best effort, you're robbing sports fans. I was very demonstrative. I was in his face. People had no clue what I was saying. They thought I was getting on because Randy, on the 3rd touchdown, he got called for unsportsmanlike conduct because he was so wide open that he backpedaled into the end zone the last 5 yards. But everyone came into the locker room. Denny Green don't have no control of this team. Chris Carter and Randy Moss, they're going at each other. But a lot of times, we as fans have no clue what people are talking about. We have no clue of what an NFL sideline is like on a Sunday.
They do the same thing to T.O. They do the same thing to Dez Bryant. They demonize these players. And I feel like it's my responsibility because it's bigger than me.
They do it to Odell, too.
Odell, mm-hmm. Same thing.
Yeah, they do.
Same thing. So, you know, like I said, man, like, you know, I know at this point it's going to be hard for me to win a debate with Jameis Winston. And I'm kind of damn near tired of having these debates about him because he hasn't provided me with much.
Yeah, he don't give you much to work with.
But I just believe in him and I'm going to continue to support him until I got to wash my hands of him. And he's just going to have to do something absolutely stupid mm-hmm. because we need him, you know, to succeed. And we won't, and I think we should want him to succeed, you know, because if he don't, man, the people that come behind him.
They're going to get it even worse. They're going to get it harder. It's going to be harder. It's going to be tougher.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And if they can say the things about Deshaun Watson, who's been
squeaky clean.
Yep.
Squeaky clean.
Nope, not a problem.
You got to be Patrick Mahomes to get looked at nowadays as a black quarterback.
Is he black?
His daddy black.
He black?
So he black.
They don't know he black yet.
They don't know he black
yet.
I had to look it up to make sure he was black.
If his daddy black, he's black.
His daddy used to play baseball. I forgot what team.
He's black.
He's a junior. His daddy's name is Pat Mahomes.
Well, there we go. We got one. He passing, but, you know, we're going to claim him, too. They love him right now.
Hey, man.
He on fire right now. He in a good situation.
Go ahead, B. Go ahead and say it, B.
What?
You're what you always say.
Oh, I'm just, no, about like, don't believe the hype too quick. Yeah.
No, not the hype. is the other
part. Oh. Once these defensive coordinators get film on them.
There we go.
We gonna know the real, what's his name? What's his last name?
Mahomes.
Mahomes. We gonna know the real last Mahomes because, yeah, you know, I've always said that. Like, I never fall into the old, like, FIFO is bigging this dude up. Like, he's, FIFO drinking the Kool-Aid. Like, he's literally like, this is the next
guy.
That's
what I was telling y'all about the whole Garoppolo and all that. Like, once they get game tape on you.
I've been saying this on Dead End Sports for years. These defensive coordinators get paid millions of bucks for a reason. Their job is to study these films on these quarterbacks. So
they have 24 hours a day
to watch film. To watch film on how to break down offenses and how to break down offensive schemes and stuff like that. Some are successful. Some not so successful. But that's what the same thing. Remember what I said about Colin Kaepernick? Even though Colin Kaepernick, I love you, bro.
Oh,
but
I wasn't big on him either.
Yeah, but like when he shocked the world and took him to the Super Bowl, I was like, okay, I was telling people, guess what? Going into this offseason, these defensive coordinators are going to have film on Colin Kaepernick, and then look what happened the seasons after that. He got exposed. He started getting exposed. I hate to bring that on Colin Kaepernick, but it was true. I usually by the second or third year, if Mahomes is still playing like this at a consistent level, then I'm going to say, you know what? I'm drinking the Kool-Aid.
That's what I always say. Like, give a quarterback his third year. Once you see the third season of a quarterback is who they really
are. That's who they really are. Because defensive coordinators at that point got enough film on you to try to break you down. If you're still that good to where whatever schemes they throw at you and you can still overcome that, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. Aaron Rodgers, it took me about 2 years. I drank the Kool-Aid after that. I'm like, yo, this dude is the baddest dude, you know, ever or whatever. Or not ever, but, you know, like one of the top quarterbacks in NFL. So I'm not drinking the Mahomes Kool-Aid. FIFO, if you listening to this, I'm not drinking the Mahomes Kool-Aid. Yeah, he balled out in week one and week two. I even text FIFO. I'm like, yo, FIFO, your boy balled out. I told you, man. I'm like, yeah, it's week two. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid. So I just want to wait and see by year two or three.
And plus, his defense is not helping it out at all.
Right.
Because the fact that he had to score 6 touchdowns
just to beat them.
They came back and tied
the game. He had to score because they can't stop anybody.
Kansas City, offensively, they're fun to watch.
And he's going to have a bad game. He's a rookie. I mean, he's not a rookie his second year. He's going to have a bad game.
He's bound to have one.
Because he's a gunslinger.
It's a long season. Brett Favre, he's a gunslinger. Right. Brett Favre, he'd give you a 5-interception game in a heartbeat.
Tyreek Hill got defenders chasing him. Like, it's crazy.
No, he has weapons galore.
He's in a good position. He's in a good situation.
Kelsey.
A good coach.
Hunt. Tyreek Hill.
We haven't even seen Hunt yet.
We haven't. Hunt really ain't really broke out yet. Yeah, really. So
it's fun. It's exciting. I said this in the text thread too, and I'll say this on the podcast to go on record. Get rid of Le'Veon Bell and get rid of Antonio Brown. I start from scratch.
I damn sure would break it up.
You think they're gonna break it up, or you think they should break it up?
I'm just saying, like, they're, you know, just get rid of the problem, you know, and show everybody in the organization that, and the Steelers will do this. They have done this before in the past.
They won't give up AB because Big Ben says.
They got rid of Santonio Holmes' ass.
But he wasn't AB. He wasn't playing like AB.
Santonio's home. He caught the game with a touchdown in the Super Bowl. He can play.
Malcolm Butler caught an interception. They let his ass go too.
You know, but he was still the man. Like, I was surprised they let him go, but they saw what they had. Well, the reason why I say that, Juju's the man now, or can be the man now. You know what I'm saying? So Antonio, like Santonio said, trade me and see what happens. Oh yeah, we could trade you, but right now, bro, you a problem. Get out of here. Le'Veon Bell. They already historically don't pay guys like that. They've already washed
their hands of Le'Veon.
Yeah, yeah, Le'Veon.
He's not playing.
He's not going to play for Steelers ever again.
Yeah, he's done. Get rid of him, too.
He's in Miami, chilling on the speedboat.
The Steelers has a history. They'll find receivers, and they can find running backs. They just draft well as an organization. They can find talent.
Offensively, they're probably the
best. I don't know why they've had struggled so much with the defense.
Yeah.
Well, they were okay because until Ryan Shazier got hurt.
Yeah.
So they started to kind of round in the form, and now they kind of try to figure that whole thing out again because I think they still have young talent defensively. But at this point, man, I ain't got time to put up with y'all mess. Y'all get out of here. Juju, you the man. James Conner will make it do what it do because we got Big Ben and we got Juju.
Yep. That would be interesting right there.
They could get a steal for.
James Conner balling already. Yeah. He's like picking right up where Le'Veon Bell left off at right now.
If you let go of AB and Le'Veon, leave a Juju and Conner, I don't know how that offense looks.
I remember you mentioned the. Because I have an issue with this. I saw this on ESPN, and I'm just like, I tweeted, I'm like, man, they just might as well just put flags on these boys, let them boy play flag football, because I think it was the Minnesota and Packers game.
That's what I was going to get to.
Oh, okay, cool. We was thinking on the same plan. It's like, you can't even freaking tackle no more. I thought that Clay Matthews hit was a good hit.
I can't believe.
It wasn't even late. They talking about something. He picked him up and dragged him in the ground.
I didn't see that. Like, I saw Marcellus Wiley.
Yeah.
He was saying the same thing. Like, that was a legal play. And now they're trying to say, like, this is a textbook definition of what not to do. I'm like, if you can't tag a quarterback like that. And look how impactful that play was to the game. That would have ended the game.
Yes.
That ended the game because they got an interception.
Yeah.
And you throw a flag and for Kirk Cousins?
Right.
I understand if it was Tom Brady, anytime you breathe on Aaron Rodgers.
But it wasn't even like he came at him right when he threw it. You know, most times with linebackers or defensive ends,
it's always after the fact.
It's that momentum. So at that point, it wasn't nothing Clay Matthews can do. So like when Kirk Cousins was back, he threw the ball, bang, like he just got hit. Like it was a textbook tackle. It was definitely a textbook tackle. It was no helmet to helmet.
And you can see they're making all these rules for the defensive side of the ball.
Yep.
The offenses can do whatever they want. The only time they really call any penalties on offense is for offensive holding. That's it.
That's all.
Anything else, all the penalties is all on defense.
Yeah. And I'm like, this is so frustrating, man. It's like you cannot. And now you got defensive players confused because they're like, I mean, how am I supposed to line up and tackle this person because I might end up getting a penalty, a flag thrown at me. It's like you can't even tackle quarterback no more.
You
can't even go at the quarterbacks the same way you used to.
And I was saying before the season started, I was like, they're going to call these ticky-tack stuff in preseason just to get everybody prepared. Like, okay, you got to switch up what you're doing. We're not going to really be this hard. But to do it on that game, like
at that moment.
And look at what Aaron Rodgers went through. Like, he shouldn't even been in that game, but he played it because it's obviously his division game and it's a home game for them.
Yeah.
So, And to tie because of that, like
it's, because of that play, yeah.
He's not doing anything to help himself with his knee being banged up, and it's getting worse every time he plays. Like he literally said that, like it's not gonna get better.
He need to take like about two or three games off and just.
That was a useless to me when you tied. Like
it was useless. It's pointless.
Yeah, I'd rather take the loss. It should have been a loss because it doesn't help you when it comes to seeding and any of that. So.
Yeah, man, it's a bad look for NFL, man. Like I said, you just might as well just put flags on them. Don't even have them tackle no more. Don't have them put on pads. Just let them go out there and fly and just try to take that flag off their waist because this is ridiculous. That was a clean, good old-fashioned tackle on a QB, and it wasn't a late hit, and they threw a flag.
And it was game over. Chicks did the long ball.
Man.
And that's what they're doing.
And that's what they're doing. Yep. They're trying to appease to that. Make it more exciting. You don't. You're not going
to
do that.
Well, on top of that, they're trying to appease to the younger generation too.
Yep.
I think so. As far as the mothers and the parents saying like, "Look, we're not going to condone the violence anymore. Yeah. We're going to make sure this game is as safe as possible, so your sons can still play football and we continue to get that young talent."
Yeah, man.
It's just whack. And when I saw that tackle was a flag. It really made me not even want to watch football anymore. If that's
the ref had to
called.
Get paid, somebody is paying him under the table.
That was insane. Because
that's the only explanation I could think of. Like, if I was a ref and someone was offering me money to call that, I'm like, that makes sense. Like, because I don't see how that was. Like, I've seen that tackle happen on Sunday. Like, I saw it happen. Like Russell Wilson was getting harassed by Chicago.
Right.
No flag was thrown.
Right.
So what are we talking about?
Yeah, I don't know. That was crazy. And now there's another tie and
back to back ties.
Yeah, it's whack. What you think about your boy Trent Richardson?
They used to play for Alabama?
On the Giants.
They picked him up?
The one that he played Sunday with Eli.
I didn't know he was still in the league.
I'm talking about Saquon Barkley.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. Damn. I'm sorry.
Your joke, it went over your head.
Your joke
went
way over my head. Because when you said Trey, I'm like, damn.
I was like, damn. I was like, he got
called back. Yeah, I'm like, he got called back. But, man. What about,
that's disrespectful, man. That's disrespectful.
What
is it? That's disrespectful.
What'd he do? I missed it.
He got
shut down.
Okay, I'm a Giants fan, and I've been hyping them up, and they have been disappointing me so far this season.
But then goes back to what we were saying.
I was telling you earlier.
Quarterback.
I was telling you early. I was like, it's the offensive line before it's Eli. I was telling y'all this all. If you don't have a good look at all the good teams in the NFL, they all have good offensive lines, or they have just stupendous quarterbacks. And with Eli, if you watch that game, he had no time to breathe, no time to do any dropbacks. I have never seen that Dallas defense play that hard as far as their front four or their front seven. They were harassing him every time. Like, Eli, as soon as he dropped back, somebody's coming at him. And you know Eli, he's a statue. He's not scrambling. He's not Russell.
He's not moving at all.
He's going to take the sack, or he's going to try to throw it away as quick as possible.
Barkley had a good game, man. He had a pretty good game, Ken. What are you talking about?
He had 14 catches for 100 and some yards. We're not going
to. I'm just saying, like.
That's what Back's doing nowadays.
You make it seem like that's a bad game. I'm talking about rushing the ball.
He said he's a running back. He ain't a catching back.
4 yards a game. He's not Marshall Faulk. Marshall Faulk ran and caught. Marshall Faulk would put up 100 and 100.
I mean, the dude's a rookie. He had to get it. What he had
to
get.
No, to this point, we know the offensive line is bad. We know he has.
No, that's the whole. That's the whole game, though. That's what I'm saying. Like, granted, Eli didn't play well at all. I'm not excusing Eli, but that line is horrendous. What quarterback can play behind that line?
I just think Barkley's gonna be.
Barkley was the only reason why they was producing anything. If you look at the stats.
Hold on, you want to.
How you gonna talk about black quarterbacks and then you're gonna give Barkley a chance?
Running backs a dime a dozen.
Yeah, they always. You can always find you. You can find you a stud in the fourth round in the running back.
Hey, I'm just saying. It's.
I think what you already know the story. Every week is going to be Darnold or Barkley. You know, and it's going to be some time before we figure that out, because it's not like Darnold went.
As much as Cal Herd is hyping Darnold, I don't think he's anything special at all. To be honest, I think he's a good, competent
quarterback. He's from USC, right?
Yeah, he went to USC.
I never trust USC quarterbacks.
He's a good, competent quarterback. I don't think he's going to be the Hall of Famer that people are trying to claim he is. Like, he had a good game against Detroit, but obviously he threw up a stinker against the
Miami Dolphins, which might have a pretty good team, defensively at least. They're 2-0, and Ryan Tannehill, you guys, you know, gave me crap about. You know,
hyped up Tannehill?
I mean,
I didn't say he, Tannehill. I didn't hype him up.
They beat the Jets. Like, I don't.
True. There's nothing to write home about. Granted, but at the end of the day, you know, he's still one of another. I didn't hype him up. I just said he said
he's better than what we were saying.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying. I think it is going to be a ticky tack. Whoever wins or whoever loses, whose stats look better,
right.
Between. And I think that's going to be for their careers. Till they retire.
Yeah, I never trust USC quarterbacks. They almost like the Duke basketball of football. It's like they do great. They have great college careers, but then they go in the NFL.
That's a good point. That's actually a good point.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Think about all the USC quarterbacks that were like hyped in college, or that was real good in college, and they go to the NFL and just.
Carson Palmer was really like one of the only ones that had a
pretty solid,
yeah.
Because Matt Leinart, they thought he was the next golden boy.
I did.
Oh my God.
He went to the league, man.
And did nothing.
He didn't. I felt he didn't get a shot.
Wasn't Sanchez at USC?
Sanchez too, man. Hey, but I was a fan of USC.
He was eating off that Jets defense, though. Jets had Revis, Bart Scott. Who else they had? Laurie was a free safety. Laurie, he was a beast. Like, Sanchez was just in a great situation.
Yeah, that defense was monstrous.
Yeah, he was a Trent Dilfert of that Jet squad. He was just manageable.
He had a couple of good games, but yeah, his career.
But,
just
like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
died.
USC quarterbacks to me are the Duke of football. Like, they just great careers in college, but NFL, they don't really pan out as much as they did in college. So,
yeah, so.
What y'all think about Dallas? Since we were that Giants game, do you think that turned around for him?
Hell no.
No, I still don't. I still don't trust Dallas, and I'm not saying that because I can't stand Dallas, but I just don't.
He threw 160 yards, one touchdown for the whole game,
and people are hyping it up
because it's the Cowboys.
Because of how they came out. They came out with that long bomb.
Yeah.
And but if you take that
challenge accepted,
if you take that play out, he threw for like 96 yards for three quarters.
Yep.
You know what? Now I will say this:
Zeke was keeping them in the game.
And you know what?
The defense was.
Defense was too. Go ahead.
I used to give Russell Wilson like the same type of criticism. Remember, I was hard on Russell Wilson earlier.
I used
to say the same. He's not throwing for 200 yards. He's throwing. It's the defense. It's the defense. It's the defense. And after watching him against Chicago, I'm like, dang, I might be right. I might have been right. Because now he doesn't have the defense to rely on. Because I said it was the defense and Marshawn Lynch.
The Legion of Boom and Marshawn Lynch.
And everybody was like, nah, Russell Wilson, top 10 quarterback. I was like, I don't know. And y'all know how I feel about black quarterbacks. I want Dak to win. I'm glad he's going to win.
No, I mean, he in a sucking place.
Yeah.
I would say Russell is top five.
Right now?
Right now.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Let me look at the list of quarterbacks.
I don't know.
Top five today.
I mean, and I'm not. I'm just going
off. I think we're holding
on. Would you put Cam Newton over him?
No, I would put him over Cam.
Now he did. He went last year, for the
Seattle team. He had 37 of their 38 touchdowns. He contributed 37.
Brady, Rodgers, Breeze.
You could throw Ben in there if you want to for four. I just can't. I can't put Matt Ryan over him. I can't put. I can't put Cam over him. I can't put I didn't see Carson Wentz in the playoffs for real, so
it might be over for Cam.
Yeah, you know, I'd put Matthew Stafford. Definitely put Matthew Stafford over him.
Granted, he might get the fifth slot by default, but he might be fine. But it's just like I can't put anybody above, because like for what he does for his team and how like productive he is. Like, his team is really garbage. Let's just be honest.
No,
like,
they are.
It's really garbage.
And now we're going to see how good he really is.
And he's running for his life, as you can see.
He's always been running for his life. That's what people loved about him. You know, he can make plays with his feet when the play break down. They loved Russell Wilson, you know, for years. But he got, and again, this is documented too. They're starting to document it. He got all the credit for the defense and Marshawn Lynch was doing.
Well, granted, when they won that first Super Bowl, it was all Legion of Boom. Nobody really talked about Russ like
when they got to the second one.
The second one, that's when he balled.
Yeah,
he balled out in the second one though.
Yeah, but and that's when I was like, nah, it's that defense and that and now I might be right. But I brought it up because Dak is kind of sort of following. We don't know if that defense is going to be Legion of Boom.
Not
like
hell no,
but. He's still following that same formula so far. Running game, good defense. And if he wins games, great. But like B, I don't know where I sit with him yet as a black quarterback because he's kind of in the sunken place.
I got to see how he is throughout this season. But I think I still have Dallas winning only like four or five games.
Yeah.
With that offense and with the way they play, it's not sustainable.
He let us down, but I still
somebody who's balling out and is showing that the coach that let him go made a horrible mistake. Khalil Mack, can we give Khalil Mack defensive player of the year already? Like, let's give it to him right now.
You saw what Gruden said?
Yeah,
it's hard to find a good pass rusher.
He said, yeah, the one thing we needed was a pass rusher.
You dummy. This dude got paid $100 million for 10 years.
Did you see the stats that he has compared to the whole defense?
Yeah, the whole is insane.
He has to win defensive player of the year right now.
He has to.
Hey,
give it to him right now.
He should have, what, two wins now?
Yeah.
Because that first game against the Packers, that was just a miracle based on Rodgers. But, yeah, and I told you, I was like, he's worth two wins. He might be worth more than that the way he's playing. That
Jay
defense
Gruden
is coming.
Looks so stupid.
And he hasn't won yet.
And you gave this man $100 million 10 years, but Caldwell and Lovie Smith can't find
a
job.
Tracker. Khalil Mack versus Gruden. Like, and Khalil Mack 1-1, Gruden 0-2 throughout the season.
But Lovie Smith and Caldwell.
Great white hope, man. You know, just bringing them back, man. Yeah, goodness. But yeah, like you said,
right.
Caldwell.
Bringing him back, too, because he was at ESPN for a while before he came back.
Yep.
And you pretty much won a Super Bowl off of Tony Dungy's team.
Mm-hmm.
Man, get out of here.
Yeah, I think he's got the way things are looking right now, he's got about 3 years.
Yep. He ain't gonna fill out that 10 years. Yeah. Not at all.
I will say this, they are definitely on his ass about the decision
he's
made.
That's good. And I'm glad they are. I'm they really glad.
Dog, like, they're like, nah, man.
But my thing is, how did he have that much power coming in? Because the GM said he talked to Khalil Mack. That's like earlier that before Gruden got there, said, bro, we want you here. We're gonna take care of it. Then all of a sudden, a few months Khalil later, is
gone.
Kicker, the punter,
because
gone.
You're paying him
Khalil gone.
10-year contract, and you don't got it. They ain't got it because they're spending it all in this stadium. That's where their money is gone. It's like they're trying to move.
I know they can't. I know Raiders fans have to be sick about it. Just like looking at that.
I think I think they're really looking at this long term because they know this.
They have to, though. That's what I'm saying. They have to think about, like, okay, we have 10 years. He gave up our once in a lifetime player.
Right.
But we got draft picks galore. We're going to figure it out. And that's the thing. Like, I really started looking at, like, draft picks really ain't shit, to be honest.
NFL draft picks are trash.
Because look at all the superstar players right now. Most of them weren't even in the first round.
That's like, always the case.
It's barely
in the first. You can find you a stud running back in the fifth round and be set. Like, and be straight.
Look at Juju. He wasn't a first rounder.
He wasn't the first rounder, right. Like, yeah, NFL draft is definitely different from
NFL.
Outside of court.
Every single year. And I would love,
like,
to know.
First round don't mean nothing in the NFL.
First,
not like NBA.
Unless you, like, outside of top 10, you really just,
man, bro.
I would say top 5 almost.
Maybe
really.
Not even top 5. If we really sat down and went through the last 10 years and just did the top 5 picks and just see how they look, you know, how successful they were.
And, like, at least, like, players who were, like, solid.
Yeah.
Like,
and see how that worked out. It would be a fun exercise just to kind of see, because for the most part it don't. But every year people get so hyped for the NFL draft, you know, just looking at these players and just anticipating what they do, and they never pan out. So,
do you think Chicago ends up with a better record than Oakland?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So. That defense looks legit. You know, when you got a guy man in the middle like that, and you know, like you said, the stat by his player, by 16. Team comparison in terms of turnovers and all that, and Trubisky's being serviceable, which it was a big question mark with him. He mm-hmm. still don't have anybody to throw to, but, you know, it's all about controlling the game defensively and giving him opportunities. Yeah, I think they will. Now, I do think, well, Oakland's going to struggle defensively, but – with the talent that they have, at least at the receiver core, they should win more games than they have.
But the scheming of Oakland doesn't even look good offensively.
He just don't have – I think Gruden really don't have the pieces he
I
wants
think he's going to blow up that whole team by the
think
off season.
So?
I think Derek Carr's
gone. You think Carr going to be gone? You think Cooper going to be gone?
I think Carr, Cooper, Lynch.
They're playing for jobs right now.
Yeah.
Lynch,
and it's not good.
It's been gone.
Yeah.
Okay, so peep this. I'm looking at the 2016 draft. The first 5 picks: Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, Joey Bosa, Ezekiel Elliott, Jalen Ramsey.
That was a fluke draft. Yeah,
because I'm looking at it, I'm like, ooh man, that was that's that we
no that that worked somebody. Out, but I think it's more Sean McVay than Goff.
So 2015: Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, Dante Fowler, Amari Cooper, and Brandon Sheriff.
I mean, gone. Yeah. Is he offensive lineman? Because I never heard of him.
Yeah, he's an OT.
So I don't know how
he's a tackle.
He is,
he's an offensive tackle.
Wow. That was. Oh, we still haven't seen Jameis and Marcus fulfill their potential, but I think
Fowler. Who does he play for?
I think in Denver.
2014.
I think he's balling.
Yeah.
2014. JaVale Clowney, Greg Robinson, Blake Bortles, Sammy Watkins, Khalil Mack.
Khalil Mack and Clowney.
That was 20. That was
Sammy was overdrafted.
Yeah.
2013, Eric Fisher, Luke. Oh, these are offensive tackle guys. Luke.
Oh, wait, that was the year that they was like hella offensive linemen.
Yeah. Deion Jordan, a defensive end. Lane Johnson, the offensive tackle. Ezekiel.
Lane Johnson in Philly, right?
From Detroit.
So maybe the top, maybe you're right, B. Maybe the, so top far the last
five,
couple
yeah.
of years, the
top
five. Top
five,
has been
but if you
solid.
Look at that top 10, it's probably.
Oh yeah, if you go top 10, it's like oh.
But I think there was a point in time where that top 5 wasn't hitting. I remember. So yeah, but no, I think we there's definitely some names
that that top 5 draft class for the year that I think it was AJ Green and Julio came out. That was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
How long they been in the league? Since 2008?
I'd say, not since like 2011, I want to say. 2011, 2010 is either one of those years.
Final one that Trent Richardson was in.
2012? I can tell you that one right now. Hold on, I'm about to tell you that one.
What happened to him, man? I thought.
Okay, so that's.
Went to the Browns.
Okay, so here go to the top five for 2012. Andrew Luck, one. Robert Griffin, second. Trent Richardson, third. Matt Khalil, fourth. And Justin Blackman. He got drafted.
Okay, so now.
Oh, Justin Blackman. That was, that
yeah,
was,
yeah. Yeah, he got, he got out of there quick. And then 2011, you said, you think that's the one with.
With AJ and Julio. I think Cam. Was Cam number
Cam
one?
Cam was in that one.
Yeah.
Cam, Von Miller, Marcus Darius, AJ Green, Patrick Peterson. And Julio was number six.
Julio was six. Number six.
So hey, yeah, that was five. Yeah, so you, I think you're right, man. That five, you can hit.
Five, that's it. Five. First five, that's it.
Like, well, you have to because you got the top. Like, that's, you could pick anybody on the board.
Yeah.
You know what I'm thinking? Like, when they were drafting the Tim Couches, and you may not remember that.
Yeah.
But when there was a time, Tim Couch, remember Akili Smith?
Mm-hmm.
I think, was he a top five?
Yeah, he was number one. I think he went to the Bengals.
Yeah, yeah, yep, he did.
That's the worst pick we ever had.
Man, I was like, come on, man. I was pulling for him, man. But nah, he
stunk it up
with it. Yeah, yeah. You know, hey man, look, if you ain't got it, you just ain't got it. You know, I'm not. You know, but hey, I'm still gonna pull for you. But at some time, I'm like, all right, man. You know, it's just not in you, bro.
What games are y'all looking forward to this weekend?
I want to see. You know, I'm sorry. I'm interested to see what's the outcome of this Cincinnati and Panthers game. Cincinnati 2-0, Panthers 1-1. Seeing that they can. If Cincinnati really for real, can they go 3-0 and beat the Panthers? Panthers might seem like they might be struggling.
I'm gonna let you know right now. I've seen the best, the worst, and everything about Cincinnati. It's playoffs. All I'm caring about is playoff wins. So they can go undefeated during the regular season.
If
they don't go in a playoff game, it don't mean nothing. But I think these next three games for Cincinnati will test who they really are, because they're on the road against Carolina, obviously, like you said. Then next week they're on the road here at Atlanta, and then after that I think they play the Steelers. They play the Dolphins. So these next two road games will be definitely against these mostly high-powered offenses. It'll be interesting to see how that defense holds up, especially with Joe Mixon out for at least a month, they're saying. So,
Cincinnati and Carolina. I want to see if this is going to be kind of like a turning point for Carolina, or is Cincinnati for real?
The game I'm looking forward to is actually San Francisco at Kansas City. I think
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, Jimmy G versus Mahomes. Yeah. It's gonna be
who's at the house?
They're at KC.
At KC. Ooh man. So yeah,
that's
what about you, Cam?
Jets Browns. Yeah, man. I think the Browns do it.
So you think this is gonna be the game that's gonna determine if Tyrod Taylor?
I wish Mayfield was playing.
That's what I was gonna say. I think Mayfield should be starting. He should be starting. I know I said I wait to the bye week, but right now the way Tyrod is playing,
man, bro,
I'm cool. I'm real cool on him right now. I know he's a black quarterback, but
you ain't got it.
Is it a chance that Baker Mayfield might start this week? Is there been any talks about?
Nah, if he doesn't start this week, if no one makes that report, he's not going to start. But I know if Tyrod loses, he has to start.
Yeah.
Because the fan base, the GM.
At that point, they like.
Because Hugh Jackson is playing for his job.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Or at least coaching for his job.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think the Steelers-Buck game is going to carry a lot of headlines. Going to be really interesting. I think the Steelers, I was wrong last time, but I think they're going to mop up the Buccaneers. Yep, I think so.
I don't know. Fitzmagic.
They're going to put Fitzpatrick back down to earth? You think they're going to bring him down to earth?
Yeah,
Fitzpatrick?
It's over. Yeah, my boy Tomlin, go ahead and make this right.
Get that first win of the year.
Yeah, let's go ahead and make this right, man. I just saw this, I think, and I just we'll see how it plays out. But the headline says Aaron Rodgers' concerned injured knee will worsen through season.
Yeah.
So that means he needs to sit out, Dan.
He needs to sit out.
I said he needs to sit out at least about 3 weeks.
And that's why I was wondering, why the hell did he re-sign with Green Bay? I keep saying that because
I don't think he's going to win another ring.
There's nothing about Green Bay that makes you say, like, okay, this is a good situation to end my legacy on.
Yeah, Green Bay. It is.
But can you give me a reason why outside of loyalty to the fan base?
He'll be a legend. I mean,
he was gonna be a legend regardless.
Yeah, but he'll really be a legend. I mean, where are you gonna go?
He could have went anywhere.
No, yeah, that is true, but that'll be unless he went to Pittsburgh.
Think about if he was a free agent and Jacksonville was calling.
With that defense?
With that defense. And those weapons that they, because they got some weapons.
Yeah. Yeah, you got a running game. You got about 2-3 running backs that can run the ball. You got good receivers.
Yeah, the NFL is just different.
It is.
Yeah. Mariota don't have his arm messed up. Like, he got tingling in his fingers. You know, it's so funny how he gets a pass. But anyway.
It's Tennessee. Nobody cared about the Titans.
They cared about Mariota when they wanted him to be better than Winston.
They sure did, because they both was in the same draft class.
Mm-hmm. I've been following this brother, you know.
Well, in my opinion, they both really, you could throw both of them away. Mm. Him and Winston.
Well, anyway, so that's what we're looking forward to, man. Let us know what games you guys are looking forward to in the comment section, or hit us on Twitter. Oh!
Forget that,
the damn elephant in the room. How do we not talk about Vontae Davis?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, this would be the last one. Vontae Davis quitting
halftime.
First reactions when you first heard the story.
I laughed.
I thought it was fake. Like, I thought it wasn't real when it was like he literally just took off his stuff.
He took a shower.
Took his shower, put his clothes back on, and walked out. Like, so I thought, I'm like, is this satire?
He walked out like them ghosts did in Field of Dreams.
But when I started seeing the you know how they had the little halftime shows and the halftime reports?
Yeah.
Like, when I started seeing the more like reliable sources saying it, I was like, man, this man really did.
And he didn't talk to nobody. And he made a post on IG talking about some, when you know it's over.
Right.
Like how you was just saying,
yeah. Right.
Hey.
If you ain't got it, you ain't got it.
Right. Got it. And you know what's funny? Like, I didn't know I thought this was like a 2nd-year, 3rd-year guy. I didn't know he was in the league as long
No, he's
as he
been,
was.
He's yeah. been, mm-hmm. he was a pro. Yeah. I think he had a pro.
Yeah. I didn't know that. So when I first heard, I'm like, oh, is this like a 2nd-year dude that just like damn this? But when I saw it, I'm like, oh, this dude just had enough. I was like, okay, yeah, he just a brother that just had enough. He figured out, he already know that the Bills wasn't going to be nothing this season. And he's like, look, I ain't going to keep sacrificing my body for this. Man, y'all can have this. I'm done.
He did. I mean, but at the same time, if you want to be real about it, it's not that surprising if you look at precedent. Look at Barry Sanders, Calvin Johnson. Mm-hmm. Who else?
Yeah. But at halftime, bro?
No, I understand he took it to the extreme. Right, but at the same time, players who are just, when you fed up and.
Because the front office. Because of our front office. That's the reason why.
Now, y'all know black folks quit to pack up and walk out on some stuff. Y'all know how we do.
There was a lot of players that was players that was pissed.
Yeah, they're going to be pissed, man, because they're players and, you know,
they're going to battle. They feel
like he quit on
the team. Yeah, he did. They said at least he could have did was, like, come back, at least be on the sideline.
At least finish the game.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just being a side. Even if he took off his uniform, at least be on the sideline with the team.
Kevin Love got a lot of crap for when he left early, you know, and he was dealing with some mess. So he got crap. So, no, everything everybody's feeling, like, the harsh – feelings they have toward this pro current players and ex players, I totally get it, and I'm not gonna even try to say they're wrong. And
I thought it was hilarious too, though.
But it was like,
especially because it's the Bills. It's only because it's the Bills.
Like I said, I just thought it was fake. I'm like, damn, he really did get up, took a shower. Dude took a shower. Like, man, let me freshen on up before I get up out of here.
That's what they.
You know what I'm saying?
I can understand it. If he was so fed up that he just left.
Left then, with his uniform on and
that
stuff.
Makes, I'd be like, okay, right. So he really was done. But he took time, effort, got ready.
This was thought out. Like, when he was going in, when he was going into that locker room at halftime.
My thing is, when did he know he was leaving?
Moment,
was it kickoff?
Right. Was it maybe in the first quarter? Like, maybe
it was last week.
No, I think it was a point like in the first quarter where
it was
like,
when Baltimore put them things on.
Yeah, that was
it. Peter,
he probably saw Peterman. That. Yeah, he probably saw that. Was like, nah, I think I'm gonna make my big exit next week. So you could be right.
He at home just chilling,
man.
And yeah, he will always be known as the guy that quit on his team at halftime.
That's a shame.
No matter how good he was of a player, he's gonna
that's,
be a quitter.
That's gonna be the stain of his legacy.
I can't blame anybody else for calling him that.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean he earned it.
I mean, like at least I can understand if you quit. during the, like, what? After the game. Like, just play the and game.
Halftime, dude.
But would we truly have talked about Monte Davis?
No. You know, even if he didn't do this?
Yeah. I mean,
no.
if he could have ended up being an announcer or something like that. Like,
but I'm just saying, like, legacy-wise.
Legacy, no, we wouldn't.
Nah, he wasn't a game-changing corner or defensive player.
Yeah. Just another player. I mean, he was good, but... Nah, like, it's no sweat.
I think it was just the way he exited would just made the headlines. That was it. Like, dude just left him in halftime, took a shower. Right, no one. So
yeah, but
they need to sell that team. That's what I got from that story. They need to sell the team.
I mean, you go to the Super Bowl, what, how many times in a row?
Four
times in a row and lose all four?
And that's the reason why I can't.
With Thurman Thomas, Jim Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody remembers those teams.
Bruce Smith. Yeah.
Nobody really remembers those teams.
Oh, we remember those.
No, I mean, like, the people who were there to watch it, you remember. But, like, history-wise, just like you were just saying with Vontae, like, are you going to really remember even all the stuff he accomplished?
Oh,
like,
yeah. Not, well, I don't think he was really on many winning organizations. But those Buffalo Bills, man, they were lighting people up.
In the 90s, yeah.
Man, and you just thought they would at least get one. Who's the receivers?
Andre Reed.
Andre, man, bro, they had a squad. Like, if you were playing Tampa Bay, you were playing with them.
Yeah.
You were playing with them and just couldn't get one. It was crazy. Like, it was just crazy. It's wow.
That's why I can't give y'all no LeBron no passes on that. You go to all them finals, you can't.
Football is different. Football is different.
Yeah, it's way different.
Yeah.
Because you're not playing on both sides of the field. Mm-hmm. Your quarterback not playing defense.
Look, it didn't surprise me. Black folks been walking out at halftime for years.
On their lunch break. Man, I ain't coming back. Man, he left for lunch. He ain't been back since.
What they do is they come on Friday, pick up their check, and walk
out. Come on, man. Y'all, that's not that brand new. We're going to be all uppity, Oh, my God, he quit on his teammates. And then, you're right. He did. He did all that.
He saw the writing on the wall with that organization.
That was
the
prime example of not a team, a group of individuals. Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
Yep.
So, anyway. But, I ain't gonna address them people on Instagram. I'll deal with y'all later. But they did. It was so weird because one comment was like, oh, you're going to give Ryan Fitzpatrick, shit, but not going to talk about Vontae Davis. Bro, you don't know what we're going to talk about on the show. Like, how you going to, say that?
Right.
Like, what are you talking about? And what I was talking about was way deeper than some guy quitting on the team. That's kind of irrelevant to the bigger issue that I was talking about, but whatever. Thank you guys for listening. I love all my white listeners out there. I appreciate y'all. we'll catch you guys next time. We out. Peace.
Peace.